much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you kidding me? Guys, if I have to ask you to get back to work one more time, I'm gonna change my tone.
To down here, like Mr. T. And this will get seriously annoying. I feel sympathy for the jerks who have to listen to this all day.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah!
That's not brown rice. That's not brown rice. That's amazing. That's not brown rice. That's amazing. Fantastic. Fantastic. That's not brown rice. That's amazing. That's not brown rice. That's amazing.
And now.
Wow, that is a lot of Chick-fil-A.
Our feature presentation.
This is the best song ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beer Buck Mix.
Yes.
Come on.
The best song ever.
Have to thank our little friend Dave, the king of Mexico, who is just in love with this new program called Songify, where you can take you can speak into your phone and turn it into a little song. That's where the My Vagina is So Itchy. That's where that song came from.
Yeah, it's very easy. You just talk normally, and then it puts it with the whole track, the whole deal.
That's awesome.
Yep, pretty strong.
So he was playing around with that the other day and decided to put some beer bug in, and I thought he did a very nice job with that.
Do you mind if we hear it again? Do you have that separate?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear that one more time.
Hang on. Yes, it is.
We need an encore. Encore presentation.
He did another one. I'll play a little bit of for you, too. Here's a little beer mug.
That's not brown rice. That's amazing. Fantastic. Fantastic. That's not brown rice.
Nice.
That's amazing.
How many different musics can you select from in Songify?
I don't know.
I think it comes, Dave was showing me, it comes with three.
With three? All right. Yeah. Well, you'll recognize this one from the Vagina song, but this is another one that Dave did from his legendary question to Megan Fox.
Megan Fox, I just have one question for you. Hello.
That's it?
Megan Fox, I just have one question for you. Hello.
I want to hear this one in the clubs.
Megan Fox, I just have one question for you. Hello.
And it pretty much just goes on like that. It does kick in a little bit.
That's the Double Rainbow song. You can pick that.
That's right. Double Rainbow song. Exactly. Yeah. So, good times. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show for all new show here on a Wednesday. Here's an interesting story that I can very much relate to because, as you know, my mind is going and I'm losing all memories. And soon I will come in and not remember who any of you are. That's the fear of where I'm heading because the times that I cannot remember, it used to just be my childhood, and then it was the first half of my adulthood, and now it's the second half of my adulthood.
Yeah.
And pretty soon it'll be last month.
But your lips to God's ears.
So anytime I see a story that involves people with bizarre memory loss, it really it perks up my interest. But then I can't remember why, which is kind of weird, too. Here's a 54-year-old woman who shows up in the emergency room at Georgetown University Hospital with her husband, unable to remember anything about the previous 24 hours. Even her newer memories were hazy. The one thing she did recall is that her amnesia started immediately after having mind-blowing sex with her husband.
And then for 24 hours, nothing stuck?
Apparently, this is a rare condition in which memory suddenly and temporarily disappears. It is called transient global amnesia. And they say it only happens to 3 to 5 people per 100,000. And it is not uncommon for it to, you know, in those rare instances, for it to be caused by sex, but it can be caused by other strenuous physical activity. And they think it has something to do with the blood flow, something about the way the blood flows from your abdomen and up to your brain and back, and then something doesn't close properly. And they're having a lot of trouble, pinning it down, figuring out. They don't really know exactly why it happens or why, and this is odd, it only ever happens to people once. It's not like it's a continuing problem where it happens to you once, then you have to worry about it next time. It never happens again when it happens
once. Can you imagine being that guy, though, to go, yeah, well, you know, I took her memory. That's like I am.
I knocked the memory out
That's
of
right.
her.
Took it right from her for the next 24 hours. It would be worth it.
You're the man.
Yep.
But I don't think you would look back on that as a happy time, though. I think it would be troubling. I think the, I mean, if this wasn't a case of a woman, you know, with her husband, I think she'd be thinking, oh my God, was it some sort of date rape drug or something? Like, why can't I remember anything about the last 24 hours?
But she remembered the sex.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, that was the last thing the only part. Thing she remembered.
Which is why that guy rules.
Yeah. If she'd forgotten that part.
Yeah.
Sex triggered amnesia, apparently, is what it's, you know, is what it's popularly called. But isn't that a bizarre thing?
That's awesome.
I think it's a great excuse. The day that you forget to go to something huge, like a wedding or something.
I couldn't remember any of the 20. That's great.
Sex-induced amnesia.
That's a good tip. Oh, wait.
There you go. But now, Lisa, aren't you going to go home today? And it's going to be disappointing for you because now you know that's out there, that somebody's making that happen to some woman. Yeah. And you're just not getting getting the memory reducing sex.
Afterward, I'll be like, do I remember thing? Damn it, I do.
I can still remember.
Come on. Let's get with
it. Up it. Come on now, so to speak. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Son, never kick a cow turd on a hot day.
I watched that yesterday, and he crazy.
He's not an articulate cowboy, is he?
He crazy.
Yeah.
That's Hank Williams Jr.
Hank Williams Jr., who can't answer a direct question to save his life.
No. No, he said several times in that interview on The View that he is not a smart man. And I did not think of him as not being a smart man until recently, and now I agree with him.
But, you know, I was talking to a friend about that, and he said, you know, dumb people don't come up with names like Netanyahu. He is politically aware. He knows who all the players are and what they do.
I guess.
Yeah, but he's got Hitler, who was dead long before Netanyahu was born, golf with him.
No, but that's not the point. Lisa's saying he knows enough to know Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yeah, he's not dumb as a stick.
Yeah.
But he is
dumb. Course, Beer Mug is a third baseman for the Tigers, if you don't recognize the name. That's who that is.
I don't get that. Is that a joke? On this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Josh Gates.
Yeah.
Who, of course, is the he's the monster hunter, and he's written a book about, I don't know, 6 years of it.
And the book is basically, I've never found one, right?
Yeah, I imagine.
If it is, the whole thing is BS, right? If he never found a monster, then looking for it is also BS.
Yes. At what point do you go, you know what? Not going to look anymore.
There aren't
I'm not looking for a sunken ship in my backyard either. You know why? Pretty sure there isn't one.
We also have, let's see, we have It's Bobby.
I'm so excited about It's Bobby.
It's Bobby. That's where Ralph was on House the other night. I don't know if you saw it.
But, I did.
He walked in and he was dumbfounded by the people in the room who asked him why he was there. She told me to come. We'll give you some highlights in about a half hour. We also have Rachel Belifsky.
I bet that's not right.
I imagine that's not right, too. I would take that bet along with you. From 2011 Scream Fest, they're a little film, horror film fest.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a new movie called Night of the Little Dead.
Wow, is that up your alley?
Which is why we're interested. We also have mistakes you made that affected the most people. We're trying to find somebody who made a mistake that really affected a lot of people.
You mean like you didn't call before you dug?
Yeah, sure. And then the electricity goes out for the neighborhood.
Right.
Something like that. Something at work. So we're going to take your calls on that today. And we also have your tickets for our breakfast with Coldplay.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Can't buy those tickets anywhere. You can only get them from us here at the Kevin and Bean Show, and we will play a game coming up for you a couple of times this morning, so you can win those tickets as well. Ralph is back. He'll take a look at the Showbiz Beat next.
Hey, party people. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday, less than a week away now from our breakfast with Coldplay. You want to join us? We've got a chance for you, a couple chances for you today on the show, for you to win your way in. You can't buy these tickets. You can only win them, and we'll tell you what to do on the way. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, Bean Baxter.
So glad to have you back. Alex was filling in a couple times yesterday on the Showbiz Beat. And what was the cartoon she wouldn't shut up about?
Something
Gemma and the something?
Gemma.
Yeah, Gem. Yeah.
Gem and the
holograms. Gem and the holograms, yeah.
Playing little theme songs and singing along and just ranting. It was like you were here because she was just talking about some geek thing that none of us had ever heard of before and didn't have any idea what to do. But man, was she excited about it.
Well, good for her. What was the story? What was going on?
I think it's out on DVD. Came out on DVD yesterday.
Came out on DVD.
Good for her. Glad to see she's still flying the geek flag.
I don't even know what it is. I still don't know what it is.
Well, open a blog.
Open up a blog.
Is she like a superhero? I had no idea.
Yeah, she was a superhero rock star for the girls, for the little girls who could use her as a role model. And she dressed like a whore. I know that much. I remember that much from the cartoons.
All right. Yeah. Now we're getting somewhere. Yeah. Now that may be where Alex got it. Okay. All right. Well, welcome back. Anyway, we missed you. Good to have you here. Time for the first look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin DeBean Show today. What's going on?
Well, there's good news in the universe. The Osborne genetic pool is being expanded.
All right.
Ozzy's son, Jack, announced yesterday that he's going to be a father. He and his fiancée, Lisa, appeared on the Piers Morgan Show last night and made the announcement just 2 weeks after they confirmed their engagement that they are going to have a baby. So those strong Osborne genes will be passed on to another generation of addicts. Looking forward to it. This will probably be like a super Osborne. We'll be able to do like even more drugs than the other ones combined.
I don't know how that's possible.
I don't either.
Yeah.
These are always dicey situations when any magazine names anyone the most anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like
most fill in the blank.
Yeah, Esquire magazine has their sexiest woman alive issue hitting stands this week.
That's usually a pretty good issue.
It is, yeah.
It is a pretty good issue, but I think you would have a reasonable argument for their choice of Rihanna being the sexiest woman alive.
She's way high.
She's very attractive.
But for the sexiest woman alive, you have to be hotter than everyone else.
That's my point. It's a dubious title at best.
Yeah.
And if you're going to take that on, Esquire, if you're going to make that the cover of your magazine, you have to be real careful about who you pick.
It's the hottest woman, the sexiest woman in the world that would do their layout.
That we have pictures of. That's how they should put it, yeah. The list in general is pretty strong. Rihanna, as I mentioned, came in at number one. Rosie Huntington-Whiteley was second on their list. Emma Stone was third.
Nice.
Beyonce fourth. Esperanza Spalding.
She's attractive.
Yes, she is. Maria Bello.
Ooh. Interesting.
Not on Prime Suspect, though, I'll tell you that.
No.
They couldn't make her look worse on... I mean, that's on purpose. They make her look kind of...
She's a detective. She's supposed to be in the streets. But I guess they just have to sort of represent all different kinds, I guess.
Right, right.
Yeah. Gina Carano.
Yes. Nice.
MMA fighter and soon-to-be action star. I guess they're just promoting her new movie with Steven Soderbergh, which should be interesting. Hope Solo, Mila Kunis, Vera Farmiga, Olga Fonda. I'm not familiar with Olga Fonda.
Me either.
I don't know if I'm Fonda Olga either, quite frankly.
Sounds like a town in Florida, though.
Carmen Pedaru?
Nope.
Anyone?
Nope.
Victoria Azarenka?
Nope.
Is this the American Esquire, or is this going to overseas?
I don't know, but I need to look up every one of those.
Brittany Snow, Fiona Gubelman.
Now you're just making up names.
Fiona Gubelman.
That's not
true. It's on the list.
There's no one named Fiona Gubelman.
Gubel.
With a B?
Gubelman with a B. G-U-B-E-L-M-A-N-N.
No way. Get real.
Fiona Gubelman. Gubelman? Doublemint?
Don't know.
Fiona Doublemint?
I don't even know what that is.
And Jennifer Morrison, formerly of House. Also on the list, so I don't know.
It's quite a list.
It is quite a list.
All right, Fiona Gubelman is a pretty good deal, though.
I'm sure she is.
I'm looking at her right now.
She's apparently on the list.
An actress. She's on CSI New York, apparently.
Oh, well, no one watches that.
No.
I like Maria Bello, but she does not belong on that list.
I
like that show as well.
I would have to agree with you, Kevin. No. Dancing with the Stars last night continued their crusade to kick all good-looking women off of television.
Oh, again? No! Who now?
Chyna Phillips was given the boot last night.
Oh, what's happening?
I'm glad we still have Nancy Grace and Rob Kardashian and Chaz Bono and Carson Kressley on the show.
Jeez.
They really don't want any straight guys to watch, do they? Fine, we get your message. Fine, no more danger of us accidentally tuning in to see your show.
We're not welcome here, apparently. Look, I don't think any of us have seen 1 minute of a season of Dancing with the Stars,
no.
So this is a question that will not be answered. But is Rob Kardashian actually decent at dancing, or is everybody else just horrible? Because how is he still on the show?
He was in the bottom three.
Don't know.
All right.
Along with Nancy Grace and Chyna Phillips.
I like that we don't watch, but we're outraged.
I'm just outraged at their behavior towards attractive women.
And just in case you come across it, there should be someone attractive on your TV.
Yeah. While we're talking about reality television, rumors. Now, the latest rumors about who will be appearing on the upcoming season of Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh.
Which is one of our favorites around here. A show we actually do watch.
Mm-hmm.
Entertainment Weekly says that it's possible Cheryl Teagues, three-time Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover model, will be appearing on the show.
Okay.
Marco Andretti, Formula One race car driver, Marco Andretti, apparently, of the legendary Andretti Racing family, might be on the show.
Okay.
Danity Kane.
All right.
She's pretty hot.
How about Adele?
Oh, no, okay. I'm sorry. Dandy King's the name of the band, right? Aubrey O'Day is the name of the band.
There we go. Singer.
There we go, yeah. And another Real Housewife. Apparently, they do very well with the Real Housewives over there because they had NeNe Leakes on. She was
great.
The ball of fire.
She was a party in a bucket right there. That girl was Teresa Giudice.
Don't know,
from Jersey.
Okay,
she's a handful.
I thought one of the great moments in Celebrity Apprentice history was when NeNe Leakes called LaToya Jackson Casper.
Yeah,
yes.
Sitting over there like Casper, the friendly ghost. So I hope they up the celebrity quotient a little bit, given that list. I hope we get more spectacular people on there.
Yeah,
and this is
give me a Richard Simmons or somebody. Give me somebody.
Yeah,
give me somebody flamboyant and out there. I'd like give me another Busey-esque kind of thing.
And I don't think this is an embarrassing show like a lot of them to go on. I think the Celebrity Apprentice, you can be a pretty good sized star and still go on and be proud of it. I mean, I think it's a respectable
in
show.
In fact, I think you can actually acquit yourself and improve your image if you do well on the show.
Yeah, I think so too.
So we'll have to see what happens. And lastly, just another reason why baseball is bad. No, it's not bad enough they're baseball. They got that strike against them, right?
How dare you.
Now they're screwing with our TV schedules.
Now what?
Well, I did think about you on Monday night for your friends back east trying to stay up to watch your house episode, Ralph.
New Girl with our beloved Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah.
Yes.
That show is going to be just put on a shelf until November. We won't be seeing any more of that. We won't be seeing any more New Girl episodes till November.
That was a great show.
Thank you, baseball. Oh, thank you, baseball. Because Fox thinks we want to watch baseball instead of Zooey Deschanel.
We do want to watch
instead
baseball.
No, we don't. We are speaking for us, and we say no, no, Fox, no.
Then you weren't sitting on your couch watching the Tigers hit home run after home run last night like I was.
No.
That's correct. Is that a burn?
Plus, we have two-hour X-Factors now, plus baseball, which means New Girl loses.
Why? What's the... They have a show that's good. Why are they treating it that way?
Terra Nova also is going to be preempted for baseball as well. So Fox having to boot some of their more popular shows off the air for a while until baseball gets done with its smegmanness. Baseball. Blah.
Your blah. House was an hour late blah. The other night on the East Coast, Ralph. Because of baseball.
Yeah, but they knew they had to draw. They knew they had to draw Bobby.
That's right. So they didn't have to worry about it.
No problem.
They knew the Bobby audience was going to
draw. Yeah, that night was in the can. That's true.
Today's celebrity birthdays, LA Kings announcer Bob Miller. One of the great, for those of you who don't know hockey, he is truly one of the great hockey announcer analysts in the sport. 73 years old today. Still great. By the way, I passed a Kings billboard coming to work today.
Yes.
I looked up and I said, oh, that's an interesting slogan. Oh, LA Kings, the time is now. What was that meeting like in the marketing department? It said, hey, you guys know any new terrorist phrases we can use for our hockey season this year? What phrase can we use that's closely associated with Al-Qaeda that we can slap on our hockey team? Anybody? Oh, how about the time is now? That's a good one. Yeah, let's print up some T-shirts, get some billboards made up.
And then no one said, hey, maybe we should think about...
The time is now.
What? Are you kidding
me? It means they've been building now. This is the year.
Okay, whatever you say, champ.
That's what I mean.
Why not just use, hey, let's put a bomb in our underwear and get on a plane?
That's
I mean,
right.
Come on.
They didn't have room on the billboard for that.
Why don't they just put NHL Jihad on the billboard?
Omar North Tower.
That's their marketing executive over there at the Kings organization. Omar North Tower. Hugh Jackman's 43 years old today.
Yeah.
Kirk Cameron's 41 years old. A little too much excitement
Way
for being
excited.
For Hugh Jackman.
Yeah! Because we all love Hugh
not
Jackman.
Brown, right?
Not that much.
And Jordan Pundick of Newfound Glory celebrates his 32nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Love hearing Muse on the radio, by the way. Still enjoy whenever one of those songs comes up. That's called Resistance here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Bush on the way, Linkin Park, and yes, Coldplay, and your way to win your way into our Breakfast with Coldplay, which is going to be happening next Tuesday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's Bobby!
Now it's time for It's Bobby.
It's Bobby! Mm-hmm. I love It's Bobby.
It's Bobby decided to take his talents to the house program.
I took it to the house, baby.
Yes, you did.
Ralph was out yesterday, so we saved the discussion for today. But by means of background, Ralph's been an actor for many more years than he's been in radio. And House is one of your favorite shows.
Yes.
So this was almost literally a dream come true to get the call that you were going to be able to be on that show, right?
And by me saying I've been an actor, that's a qualified statement. You really have to say that. Occasionally I do some acting
gigs.
You've done a fair amount. I mean, you've been a, you know, a regular on a television program before. You've been in a bunch of movies, including the Al Pacino, Two for the Money. I mean, some pretty mainstream big stuff.
Not, I dabble.
Yeah, but it's not like you're an extra. It's not like you're a background guy at a Starbucks scene. You know what I mean? I mean, you actually are given lines and characters and interact with stars. I mean,
but yeah, you're absolutely right. The House has been one of my favorite shows since it first went on the air. It's one of those shows I don't think I've ever missed an episode. I've seen every episode of the show.
That's pretty good.
And yeah, so this was a dream come true to have them call me up and say, we'd like you to do something on our show. It's pretty cool.
Now, they asked you to play yourself, which I thought was curious.
How you don't dare see, you, sir?
You don't see that very often. But
I do believe the role was written with me in mind.
Yeah, it seems to have been.
Yeah.
So they said, hey, let's belligerent drunk with a leather jacket. Who do you got? And then they went, it's Bobby. And then they called you.
It's funny, the leather jacket thing. The leather jacket thing came out completely out of the blue. Because they send you down for fittings, you know, you have to go down for wardrobe fittings. And they
say,
this is what we had in mind. You know, the show takes place in Jersey, so he needs like an East Coasty kind of thing, but he's kind of like a bar fly hanging out and stuff. And
Were they joking?
He's a bit of a loser. And so this is the wardrobe thing we had in mind. And they pull out a shirt and a black leather jacket that are almost identical to things that are hanging in my own closet. And I said, are you guys kidding? They're like, what are you talking about? I said, oh, never mind.
You thought they were giving you a time.
But that's what they gave me, and it was pretty much my own wardrobe.
That's true.
Yeah, it was funny.
So the plot line of the story is there's a woman who's very, very sick, very close to dying, and she needs a lung transplant, right? Her lungs are all honked up.
Yeah.
And you play Bobby, her ex-boyfriend, who I guess, what, there's been some problems in the past. You guys are broken up now because you were you wouldn't stop drinking?
Yeah, she got sober.
She had to.
She got sober. She had cancer, a double mastectomy. And I was with her during that. But after that fact, she got sober. And her family hates me and her sister hates me because I used to get her drunk all the time. We would drink together. And since she cleaned up her act, we broke up. Yeah. But Dr. Wilson, who's her doctor, brings me back to try to convince her to undergo some radical therapy in order to keep her alive in time, if long enough to get her double lung transplant.
And her family has a little conversation about you before you even show up.
I haven't heard the name Bobby in a long time. How's he doing these days?
I don't know. We're not in touch. And don't even pretend like you're not relieved. You never liked him.
Bobby is an incredibly fun, great guy. Just not a great influence.
I would have gone with Colossal Drunk.
I was going to leave that implied, but yes, Colossal Drunk.
I don't think it's not a comedy. It's not a comedy.
Is everybody in New York?
That's everybody in New York?
They were happy to see Bobby.
I missed that part.
So they're talking about before you show up, and then here comes Bobby into the room, played by Ralph Garman.
It's Bobby!
What are you doing here?
I'm here for Vanessa.
Now is not the time, Bobby.
She asked me to come. What? Right, Doc? Actually, it was my idea.
What are you thinking? She doesn't want to see him.
When Vanessa was ready to quit chemo, Bobby's the one who got her to do one more round.
Yeah, and then he got her drunk. Please tell me you haven't been drinking today.
I should go.
Yeah.
Hail, hail, the gang's all here.
Hey, beautiful.
Is that the other people in the yard?
Yeah, I love that.
Thank you.
Robert,
and you picked her up and you carried her around the yard. Everybody's cheering.
Yeah, it was like officer and a gentleman. Put my hat on her.
Robert Sean Leonard, great actor, great as Wilson on the show.
Great
what was
guy.
That like working with him?
Great guy. What a fun guy he is. And you know, it turns out he's a real movie and TV geek.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so we were kind of getting everybody's nerves because we would sit down in between takes and we would just say, okay, Bad News Bears. And we start training lines from Bad News Bears, the movie. He loves that film, and we were going back and forth.
He must have loved that.
It was just like a trivia fest. We had a great time hanging out and just chatting about film and TV.
I know how long it takes to make television, usually. You were on screen for about, you know, less than a minute. How long did that take you to film?
A day and a half.
No!
A day and a half.
For those two scenes, well, I guess you do come back later and you don't have a line, but you're in another scene later. But for your scenes, was it a day and a half?
Yeah.
Imagine how long it would take me.
Oh, can you imagine?
You know, if that took you a day and a half.
Oh, my God. They would have to write the lines on the inside of your eyelids.
It'd be like a month and a half for me.
How much pressure is there when you're a guest star, Ralph, to not be the guy who screws up the line and has to have the scene redone?
Well, I only had it with three or four lines, so it wasn't a lot of pressure. I knew I couldn't do too much damage, you know.
Yeah, but you know when you're...
Cut! Reset.
I was lucky we had a really good director on the set. Usually when you're the guest star, you are a necessary evil.
Right.
You're like the guy who's like screwing up everything for everyone else because they've got the system down and you're the new guy they have to kind of break in and deal with and put up with for whatever time you're on the set. But Dan Attias, the guy who was the director on this, pulled me aside and like, he said, look, you don't have a lot to work with here in terms of lines and stuff, but we have to make this character real because it's important to the story and important to this girl.
Right.
So we're going to have to actually do some work here. And he gave me some actual direction and sort of involved me in the scene much more so than a lot of other people would. So they make you feel like you're a part of the process right away, which is very sort of comforting and encouraging.
When we had Hugh Laurie on the program Monday, you indicated at that time that there was a lot of talk on the set about an It's Bobby spinoff.
Yeah.
It's
Bobby! Well, if you hear, listen to that role, listen to how I jump off the screen.
It really doesn't sound like it. Is it Thursday or Friday this week? I forget.
Oh, they pushed it. Fox did because of baseball.
Is that right? Because of baseball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got
it. So were your people's phones just ringing off the hook as soon as you made an appearance on the screen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's Bobby this, it's Bobby that, it's Bobby t-shirts, Bobby lunchboxes. I mean, the merchandising's going through the roof.
They're
talking about an animated Bobby series.
It's Bobby! Yeah.
Can I suggest?
Bobby's the new Snooki. That's what they're saying.
Is that right?
In
oh,
variety.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah.
How about the time is now for Bobby? How about that?
I like it. Bobby in a burka.
Hey, party people, thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. We're going to talk about the 2011 Scream Fest, a film festival for horror movie fans, coming up in about 10 minutes, including a movie that involves little people. And I'm so about the Night of the Living Little Dead or whatever that's called.
Can't get the name of it, but you're so about it.
I'm so about it. First, though, sad news for some football fans. Others not so displeased to hear the news that Al Davis had passed away, longtime owner of the Raiders, one of the most influential, as we found out earlier this week, one of the most influential people in the history of football, a guy who was behind the merger of the AFL and the NFL, and longtime Raiders owners, hugely successful franchise for much of its existence. Maybe not so much in recent years.
He should have given it up for the last 10 years, though. Let's be honest.
Probably so. And when I saw that he was only 82 when he died, I was shocked. Didn't you think he was at least 90?
He was 102 of a day.
So we are awaiting details on the funeral announcement on when and what the specifics of that are going to be. But in the meantime, we thought, hey, let's catch up with Raider fan number one, because we have not talked to our buddy Rudy Cisneros since this sad news came down over the weekend. And I don't know how he's holding up or what his thoughts are on it, but we wanted to get him on the line. Hey, Rudy, welcome back to the Kevin DeBeach Show, my friend.
Damn, dog. What's up?
How are you?
Oh, man, I'm not doing too good, dog. This is like the second worst thing that's ever happened to me, dog. And like, I remember a couple years ago at Thanksgiving, my friend Dump Truck, the Joker, and PB&J, we hotboxed my house,
right?
And we killed my grandma.
Oh,
and that was the worst thing. We thought we did. She was in a coma for 6 months, but she's okay now, dog. But that was the worst thing ever, dog. You know, because my grandma was sitting there, like, we can't Bernie's, and like. And my friend started, like, putting funny clothes on her, so it's bad. But, like, this is bad almost. Like, this is pretty bad, dog, because Al Davis is dope, for real, though.
The Raiders are like your other family, right? I mean, you consider them, you know, every bit of, you love them as much as you love Sad Girl, am I right?
I love them way better. Like, I've never gotten a fist fight with no Raiders, so, like, I think I like them better than my family, because, like, I always box down with my family, dog, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, sure.
We go listen to slow jams or whatever, and, like, and we go, like, to dance at the hop, or, like, if we go get food on Sunday, like, I'm always, like, boxing my uncles, and, like, my dad and I, we, you know.
Oh, you're cutting.
Raiders is, oh, like, man. It's just all about, like, happy, dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Now, Will, of course, you're very sad right now. Sad, you know, the Raiders are sad to lose their leader, but ultimately, will it be better for the team? Will they make some changes now that maybe Mr. Davis would not have approved of and kind of go in a new direction?
I just, like, got to keep my head up, dog. You know what I'm saying? Be optimistic, like my parole officer says about the Raiders. So, like, I feel like maybe it's going to be commitment to excellence with a different owner. You know what I'm saying? Silver and black attack in your face, dog.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah,
and, like,
right.
I felt like I'm not that good, like, with letters or nothing. So, but my parole officer encouraged me to get creative. So for Mr. Al Davis, I wrote a lulagi.
What? A eulogy?
Yeah, dog. You know what I'm saying?
You wrote?
Me to read it for you?
Wait, you wrote a eulogy?
Hell yeah, dog. I got it in my pocket right now. Let me pull out my thickies. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, but those are usually for people who are speaking at the funeral. But, I mean, I guess it's okay just from a fan's perspective. Sure.
Beating you a slow jam?
On the day he died, I went down to Santa Fe Springs Swap Meet, and I got a couple 40s, and I read it. So, like, it kind of counts, dog.
Not really, but okay. We'd like to hear it.
All right, hold on.
The great Rudy about the great Al Davis.
Damn, Al Davis. You're dope. You're like the dopest Jew ever. Except maybe Jesus, dog. Because Jesus was dope. And I got a cousin named after Jesus. His name is Jesus. But don't trip, dog, because I got a cousin named after you, too. Her name is Alberta Davis Cisneros, a.k.a. Misty. And she was conceived and born at the Kmart in Pico Rivera.
Wait, conceived and born?
What's that?
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, she conceived and born. Isn't that crazy?
That's
like,
odd.
That's irony. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Strange. Go ahead.
So, like, anyways, damn, dog, you got blasted by Mother Nature, and now you're dead. That's not shocking because you look super old forever. I thought you were the Emperor from Star Wars for, like, 30 years. Speaking of 30 years ago, dog, that's when I watched my first Raiders game. What a special day. I was in fourth grade. That was the first time I smoked PCP.
In fourth grade?
I threw up Cecil's tacos on my Uncle Victor's leather members only jacket, and he punched me in the dome. I want to give a shout out to Al Davis from my good friends, Bum, and Donut, and Ceiling Fan, and Disco Stick, and Turkey Neck, and Ham Bone, and Sniper, and Drill Bit, and Pluto Nash, and Pupa Cabra, and Trucha, and Tarvin, and Mojado, and Flaco. Thank you so much. So anyway, listen up,
Alvin. Oh, I think we lost him. Oh, what a moment to lose him.
Are you there? Rudy, are you there?
Hey, can you hear me, dog?
Yeah, we're having trouble with your phone.
I'm sorry, dog. It's one of those pay-by-day plans. I got a 7-Eleven.
All right, I think we're here now. You have the ending there. Go ahead.
Okay.
In conclusion, even though you've won less games than I had children in eighth grade, you are still down. I can't do a 21 gun salute for you, but I've shot way more than 21 people, so I dedicate them all to you.
Aww.
Plus, I can't really cry, but I have a teardrop tattoo, which is pretty much better, so I dedicate that to you too, dog. Much love in heaven, and keep your head up.
Oh, that's beautiful. Right. That's wow. a beautiful
touching.
Sentiment.
That's really nice.
I'm sad that you can't be at the actual funeral, but that was a very nice tribute. I'm sure you speak on behalf of a lot of Raiders fans. And please give our best to Ceiling Fan, won't you?
Hey, you know what? Sharks are dope, dog.
Okay. All right.
Next Tuesday morning, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the band Coldplay will be here performing live. We got your tickets you can win to join us coming up in a few minutes. But first,
we don't have time for
that. Halloween, ooh, Halloween.
How good does that feel?
Ghostly things are going to happen.
Stand by.
Behind the tree.
Here's my favorite part.
Yeah. I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And as Halloween spooks outside my window frame.
Now it's officially Halloween season. I didn't want to talk to our guests before we officially kicked off the season with Halloween spooks, because that's what it means here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yeah, we have a guest. Rachel Bolofsky is on the phone. She is the festival founder and spokesperson for something called the 2011 Scream Fest. Rachel, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
The Scream Fest has been going on for how long? How many years have you been doing this?
This is year number 11.
Wow. Wow. No kidding. And yeah. and what's the point? The point is homemade movies, low-budget movies, movies that don't otherwise have distribution? How do you select?
It's sort of a combination of all. It's like independent. So there's some studio films or some that have already garnered distribution. But the idea basically is, quality independent films that are seeking distribution.
And it's all horror-themed.
Pretty much, yeah, all horror-themed, absolutely.
Over the course of the last decade, I imagine you have seen more and more people who now have the tools at their disposal to make their own movies. I bet you have a lot of non-filmmakers who are submitting movies, right?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. It comes from all around. But I guess our biggest, like, one for, like, low budget would be Paranormal Activity that we discovered and premiered in 2007.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So yeah. what was that like for you to see that movie go from the festival to being a worldwide hit that ended up making hundreds of millions of dollars?
Surreal. I'm really happy for Oren. He's such an awesome guy. So, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. All right, so the festival kicks off on October 14th, which I guess is Friday. So it's this weekend, and it runs all the way through the 23rd. So how many movies are you going to be screening at the Screamfest?
Roughly 30-some-odd features and, like, 30-some-odd shorts or so.
Wow. Wow. And so people, do people buy a pass and go to all of them, or are they all sold individually, or what?
They can do it both ways. They can buy a full pass, or they can buy an individual ticket, which is only $10 a piece.
We'd like to buy just Night of the Little Dead.
Yes, I love it.
That's the one that caught our attention.
You have to come on Saturday.
Come on.
Tell us about Night of the Little Dead, Rachel.
Yeah, I will. It's directed by Frank Capolito and Ezekiel Zabrowski, and it's about these two guys are off in the, throwing back some beers at this local fishing shop. In come two guys all bloody, and of course, what's the one thing you don't do? Go look outside, and
Never.
They get attacked by Little Walking Dead, which is, it's just...
Now, it's always cracked us up that the zombie genre, they move so slowly, it sure seems like you could get away from them just by running. But imagine if they're little people. I mean, really, it wouldn't be that hard. You could take out 100 of them and just be fine.
But they're fast little people.
No, they're not. They're zombies. Here's a little bit of the trailer of Night of the Little Dead.
Night of the Little Dead. In this bait shop where tall tales flow.
Have you ever heard of the albino drop time?
Almost as much as the beer.
Glad to be back in a place where I don't feel like a piece of meat.
Something little
you can't go out
is
there.
About to bite.
That's pipsqueak.
What's out there?
Something that's come back from the dead.
Ah!
And these fishermen's lines are about to break.
You son of a bitch.
Is he at?
Will they survive?
Oh, jeez.
Let's play this fish.
And how much will be left of them? Night of the Little Dead. It's the little things that get you.
Yes,
it is. Nice, nice. Rachel Blofsky's on the line. She is the festival founder and spokesperson for the 2011 Screamfest. You can go to screamfest.com. You know these guys that made this movie. Is it meant to be a camp movie, or are we meant to be seriously afraid of the little people zombies?
Oh, no, it's meant to be funny.
It is meant to be fun.
Right. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And they were in the festival last year with a short film called Dracula's Daughters versus the Space Brain. So they kind of go in there.
Sweet. how did they get Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller to be in their movie?
I don't know. I wish I knew the answer to that one.
Because that's impressive.
They said, let's find the human being who will make the little people look the smallest.
He's the biggest person on television, right? Exactly.
Right. He was tweeting about it yesterday, so that was pretty cool.
Sweet.
Oh, that is awesome. So Night of the Living Dead, that's going to be this Saturday night at 10. And the theaters are the Man Chinese and the Hollywood and Highland Center, right?
Yes.
Okay. And what happens to the movies that don't get picked up, that don't ever get further distribution? Or do they eventually get compiled on a DVD or something? Is there a way people can see them if they don't see them in the theater this week?
They usually all pretty much get distribution, with the Lionsgate or whoever. They usually do get picked up in some form.
Are you the guys that discovered ankle biters?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's another one. That's another midget vampire movie that's fantastic.
All right, Rachel, in our remaining moments, any other highlights of the festival this weekend, films that either have a lot of heat or that you've seen and you recommend?
I would definitely recommend The Tunnel, which is on this Saturday. And then if for those that like 3D films, we're opening up with a Korean film called Sector 7 3D, and then there's a Julia X 3D on this Sunday.
All right. Fantastic. It all sounds good. You're going to be doing this for a couple of weeks,
yep.
And it's going to be at the Chinese Six Theaters, right, at Hollywood and Highland.
Yes, it is.
Fantastic.
All right, starts Friday. Again, the website is screamfest.com, and then Night of the Little Dead, which I think you may see Kevin at, is going to be on Saturday night. Rachel, awesome to have you on. Good luck with the festival this year, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. By the way, looking ahead toward tomorrow, Kevin, you're going to be very excited. Our old friend Joe Rogan is going to be coming in tomorrow.
Love it.
Especially after this weekend. Especially after the fights this weekend. He'll have a lot to say about that. Also, Dr. Drew on the program today. And we're going to talk to... Who's that actor, Ralph? That guy who played Mr. Echo on Lost, who's one of the stars of The Thing. What's that dude's name?
I thought you were going to play the tape.
I thought
he was looking for a setup.
I just wanted to see if anyone ever knows this guy's name. All of that tomorrow, and Robert Kirkwood, who wrote that movie that Kevin likes, The Walking Dead.
Kingward, right. Who made that movie, The Talking Dead.
We were in Vegas.
Oh, he's the best.
What do you want from me?
Robert Kirkwood.
All of that tomorrow, and of course, a breakfast with Coldplay tickets. Speaking of Coldplay, Kevin, what's the plan here? What are we doing?
Well, we're going to do the Wheel of Celebrity Voices, so if you know the lyrics of Coldplay, it might be a good head start. Give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We'll do it right after. Ralph takes a look at the show.
You know, we mock
We tease.
Because we love?
We make fun of.
I don't know where you're going with this.
Yeah, we are not the majority.
Oh, that's true.
In many cases. And that seems to be the case when we took a shot at the Kim Kardashian wedding TV show on E!
As being stupid and pointless and unnecessary?
Yes. All of those things. Doesn't mean it's not all those things, but a lot of people watched it.
Yeah. Not interested!
Sunday night's first half, 4.4 million viewers tuned in to E! To watch the Kim Kardashian-Chris Humphries wedding.
I'm guessing that's more than usual?
That would just be the most watched day ever for E!
Huh. Oh my God.
Yeah.
The
second half got another 4 million on Monday night, by the way.
This Seacrest is a kingmaker in television right now.
Yeah. He's got his finger on the pulse.
He sure does.
We've got our fingers someplace else.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I think there are thumbs, and I think there may be someplace where you sit.
Dark. Yeah. Someplace dark.
So, take that for what it's worth.
Wow.
Kardashians are right, we're wrong. I'm going to go to Sears right now and buy some of their clothes. I want to be just like them now. Resident Evil is filming another installment of that film franchise in Toronto, Canada. Big problems on the set yesterday. This story is layered with problems. Problems upon problems. Bunch of actors dressed as zombies fell off a 4-foot-high stage, causing multiple leg, back, and arm injuries. That's bad. It gets worse when the EMTs arrive, because now they have to sort out the injuries from the zombie makeup. So, zombies who have broken legs protruding out of their legs as makeup. That's just makeup, Kevin.
What do you do? Oh, and makeup, okay.
So, you're an EMT, you show up, you see a compound fracture on a zombie. So, you immediately try to treat it. It turns out, no, that's just a prosthetic.
That's got a neck injury or
something? Not a problem at all. How do you determine the real injuries from the zombie Hollywood makeup injuries? Well, it was very difficult. They had a hard time sorting out all the injuries from the decomposing bloody flesh. But turns out 16 of the actors were actually injured and 11 had to be taken to the hospital. But,
would you like to see, like, the person who the EMT went to the most spots before he actually got to the part that was actually hurt?
Yeah.
It's not my ankle. It's not my leg. It's not my hip.
Yeah, it's a great story from Red State when we made Red State with Kevin Smith.
Uh-huh.
There's a scene in that film where Nicholas Braun, one of the actors, gets shot by me in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were shooting the scene, he fell back onto a series of shelving. He gets blown back by the shot. And the blood pack that they used to spray blood spatter behind him on the wall to make it look as if the bullet went through. The force of that blood pack hit a big plastic, what they call a pelican case, holds equipment
right
on top of the shelf. The force, the air compression, hit that and made it rock
right
and tumble off the top of the shelving.
Sweet.
So Nick Braun hits the ground after the fake gunshot. And he's lying there pretending to be dead, and the case comes crashing down on his skull.
Oh, my God. Sweet.
And
keep the cameras rolling.
And we did. Yeah. And that's the shot actually you see in the film, is that scene. But he's like, what the F? He thought someone threw a case at him to add to the realism of the situation. Anyway, he had to go to the hospital as a result. He did have a mild concussion because of this case. But he walks into the ER and says, you know, we've got a problem here. We think he may have a mild concussion. And the attending looks up at him at the time, and he's got a giant bullet wound in his forehead.
No.
Makeup from when we were shooting the scene that no one thought to remove before taking him to the hospital.
How are you walking?
That's what this. You've got bigger problems than a case hitting you in the head. Like, no, it's okay. Everyone, like, jumped at once and tried to explain to them that it was all just makeup. But when reality meets Hollywood, it can be a very complicating situation.
It's Bobby!
And that's a Bobby story for you right there. Quentin Tarantino's new film, Django Unchained, still casting. I mentioned, I guess it was last week, that Kevin Costner was out. He was too busy to film, so Kurt Russell was going to step into that role. Well, Don Johnson has been added to the cast. Quentin is the king of reviving careers.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
Don Johnson was brought back, I guess, first for Grindhouse, I want to think.
I think
he's a Machete, too. He was really good in that. I know Robert Rodriguez used him for that film. Anyway, he's going to be joining the cast, so I can't wait to see this film, just judging on the cast. Leonardo DiCaprio, Christoph Waltz, Jamie Foxx, Kurt Russell, Gerald McRaney. Remember him from Simon and Simon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Also plays the a judge on Fairly Legal with Sharis Shaheen.
Oh, that I do.
Talented guy. Who knew that Richard Gere was a collector of guitars? apparently had a massive collection of rare electric guitars. Huh. I didn't even know he played.
Me either.
Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he just buys them. But he sold it off at auction yesterday at Christie's in New York, and it brought in $1 million, his collection of 100 guitars.
Wow.
Dude.
He owned instruments once owned by Albert King, legendary blues guitar player, Peter Tosh, the reggae star. He had one guitar, a 1960 Gibson Les Paul electric guitar that went for $98,000.
Wow.
Richard said he's selling his guitars off because he's going to use the money to support humanitarian causes all over the world. So $1 million for charity from his collection.
That's pretty cool.
Would you play a guitar if you owned it and it was a $100,000 guitar?
Sure.
Okay.
Not me.
What's the point?
Put it right on the wall.
I know you don't watch the Antiques Roadshow, Ken.
No, that's crap.
I know you're not familiar with that program. But it seems to me, whenever I watch that show, that invariably, anybody who brings in an old guitar, that will be the highlight of the episode. I saw a guy brought an acoustic guitar from the 30s, made by a company called Martin. And the guy's like, it was all beat up. And he said, yeah, and this has obviously been played hard. I mean, condition's always an issue. You know, this is, from 1933, blah, blah, blah. And the expert is going through it, and the guy's just looking. It's been passed down from his great-grandfather, whatever.
He's thinking, wasting my time.
Yeah. And he goes, so really, it's probably only worth about $50,000. That's all you're going to get for it. The guy's like, yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Invariably, guitars are always big-ticket items on that show for some reason. Take a look. Today's celebrity birthday is Kirk Cameron. He is 41 years old today. Jesus loves him, by the way.
That's true.
He was the one who proved that evolution was a fallacy.
He proved that?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah. Hmm. He proved that...
And a banana, right?
Right. That creationism was a fact because God created the banana, which the human hand fits perfectly around. So that is proof that it was designed by God to be eaten.
If what Ralph just said doesn't make sense, congratulations, because it doesn't.
Go find it on YouTube, though. Watch it for yourself.
And that is what he said.
It's fascinating. Hugh Jackman is 43 years old today. I thought Beam was going to jump out of his skin again. No surprise. Jordan Pundick of Newfound Glory is 32. And LA Kings announcer Bob Miller celebrates his 73rd birthday today. One of the greats of the NHL. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This has been a great year 2011 has for Kevin and Bean Breakfasts With. It's a tradition that we started many, many years ago where we get big bands, tiny places. You help us interview them, watch them perform live, just you and a few friends. I think we did Incubus earlier this year, Red Hot Chili Peppers. And the latest one to be announced was just this past Monday. We told you Breakfast with Coldplay is happening next Tuesday. Less than a week from now, live from the brand new Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. You're going to be able to come on down and be part of that. Huh?
Huh? What?
Yes.
Go ahead, Bean.
I thought I heard something. You're going to be able to come down and be part of that if you want to call right now. 1-800-520-1067. We're going to be playing the Wheel of Celebrities.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
Hey.
I think I had a microphone on too early.
All right. Time for the wheel. We're going to read some lyrics. It's going to be Khloe Kardashian or Justin Bieber or Bob Dylan or Harrison Ford or Sarah Palin or Al Pacino or Arnold Schwarzenegger or The Queen or Hulk Hogan or Bill Shatner, although we did that yesterday. Did I say Mumford & Sons?
No.
Khloe Kardashian?
No. Oh, all right. I hope it lands on Mumford. All right. So 1-800-520-1067. If you know Coldplay lyrics, we spin the wheel. A celebrity reads those lyrics. You just have to tell us which Coldplay song they are doing. Let's meet contestant number one. This is going to be our man, Jake, who's on the line. Hey, Jake. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Let's spin the wheel.
It's kind of a weak spin, I got to be honest. But, oh, Mumford & Sons.
Yes.
Oh. That's great news. All right, Mumford & Sons doing a Coldplay song now.
How long before I get it in? Before it starts, before I begin? How long before you decide? Before I know what it feels like? Where do I go?
All right. What do you think there, Jake?
Wow. That was really bad.
Hey, we were asking you.
I'm going to say the scientist.
I'm going to say, sorry.
We were looking for Speed of Sound was the Coldplay song.
Yeah, sorry about
By
that.
By the way, I thought it sounded outstanding, so what the hell do you do?
I guess the guess was worse than the impression. You lose.
Let's try Henry joining us to win his way into our Breakfast with Coldplay. Hi, Henry. You ready to go?
Yeah, what's up, Kevin and Bean? Bobby.
spinning the wheel.
It is Bobby.
Thank you for noticing.
And it is Justin Bieber, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Justin Bieber. The Biebs joins us with a Coldplay song. All right, Henry, listen up. Here's Justin.
I hear Jerusalem bells are ringing, eh? Roman cavalry choirs are singing, eh? Be my mirror, my sword and shield, eh? My missionaries in a foreign field, eh?
If I could just give you a hint, A is not in any of the lyrics.
Oh, come on. What's that all about?
I'm just saying.
All right, Henry, what Coldplay song is Justin doing for us?
Oh, my God. I'm having a brain fart. I know it's off of Viva La Vida.
All right.
Let's just... You might want to just go with that instead.
Oh, Viva La Vida?
Yeah!
Yeah!
How did he do it? Nicely done.
That was a nice hit there, Kevin. Let's try Jason, line three. It's weird. All the people on the phone are guys. Yep. All the emails begging for Coldplay tickets are girls. So I can't tell what's going on here. All right, Jason, you ready to play? Ready to spin the wheel?
Yeah, let's do it.
Good luck.
All right, and it is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hi, Arnold.
Arnold will now be reading lyrics from a Coldplay song.
Nobody said it was easy. It's such a shame for us to part. Nobody said it was easy. No one ever said it would be this hard. Oh, take me back to the start.
Well, you can hear the sadness in his voice, can't you?
Yeah, you can. Too bad. It's a rough time for the former governor. Yes, Jason, what song is that?
The Scientist.
That is
yes,
Scientist.
Yes, it is.
As a matter of fact.
Said it was easy.
All right, we got time for a couple more. Let's try. Did we talk to Caesar already?
Nope,
or Caesar is up next here on the Kevin Beecher. Hi, Caesar. You ready to spin the wheel?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
And it is Al Pacino.
Ooh-ah.
Giving you lyrics from a Coldplay song. You have to give us the name of the song.
Sing it loud and clear. I'll always be waiting for you. Yeah. I'll always be waiting for you. Yeah, I'll always be waiting for you. Yeah, I'll always... be waiting for you.
All right, Caesar, what do you think?
I have no idea.
What? Oh, how
let's
sad.
Let's guess. Fix You?
No, sorry, that was Shiver.
Always be waiting for.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say we only have time for one more. Let's try Emily. Emily's on line five. Emily, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Wheel O Celebrities. You ready to go?
Yeah.
Good luck.
She didn't sound very confident.
No, she sure didn't.
Spinning the wheel. Michael Jackson, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
Michael
wow.
Jackson has come up on the wheel.
From heaven.
I'm so surprised to be here.
Hi, Michael.
How did you get on the line so fast, Michael?
You call, I answer. Well, that works.
Fantastic.
All right, I don't know if you remember Coldplay from back when you were alive, but they're a very popular band from Britain.
Should I go now?
Yes.
Yes, you can read the lyrics if you like.
I've never played this game before.
I didn't know there was no time for small talk. Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
Okay.
All right, here's Michael Jackson with your lyrics from Coldplay.
I'm a little doped up. I had some propofol.
Is that right?
Well, that's a shame. You need that in heaven, but okay.
Everyone just saying this is the greatest show they've ever seen.
I would need you to focus, Michael, and be clear.
Okay.
All right.
All winter, we got carried. Oh, wait. Hey, Omar, seriously.
Wait,
there's a guy named Omar in heaven?
Working over here.
That seems unlikely.
All winter, we got carried. Oh, way, over on the rooftops. Let's get married. All summer, we just hurried. So come over, just be patient, and don't worry. But don't be a patient of Dr. Conrad Murray.
that's not part of the lyrics.
What?
I don't think that's part of the lyrics.
I'm so creative, I added my own lyric at the end there.
All right, Emily, what Coldplay song is that, please?
Death and All His Friends.
Yes, it is. Is correct. She's kind of a hardcore fan. I like that.
Very impressive. Nicely all right, done. Michael, thank you so much, and thanks to everybody on the wheel. Let's try Henry, Jason, Emily, all in the running to join us Tuesday for Breakfast with Coldplay. Lisa, who's our winner?
Our winner is Henry.
Yay!
Henry, congratulations.
Thanks.
You will be at our Breakfast with Coldplay.
Awesome.
And Michael Jackson, thank you for playing as well.
Are you going to be there?
I'll be there.
Yeah. Right now, though, we want to revisit a story that happened a couple of weeks ago. We never really got a chance to talk much about it, but maybe even some people listening were affected by this. And we're talking about that massive power outage that happened a couple of weeks ago. Arizona, California, even parts of Mexico. Over 5 million people lost their power. And if I remember, and I don't know if I have anything to base this on, but wasn't it like a Sunday and like everybody missed football? Wasn't that the deal? Is like people were really ticked off because they wanted to see the Chargers play and nobody had any power?
The only thing I remember about that story wasn't the day, but the reason that it happened was one guy made a mistake.
Was it like a guy in Arizona?
It was in Yuma, and I don't know, he was supposed to change something or fix something. Yeah. He made a mistake, and it was just basically a oops.
Yep. The Arizona Public Service Company, apparently, is the name of the company that is part of the chain that provides the electricity to all those millions and millions of people. And they had one employee who removed a piece of monitoring equipment, which set off a chain reaction, and the power grid just failed everywhere. And I'd love to know when it was determined that he's the guy. I'd love to know what that conversation was like.
Yeah, because you have to imagine, like, he's out of there by... I mean, when something goes wrong, he probably panics, wouldn't you think? Like, I'd run. I know that.
He probably knew before anybody else.
Right.
You know, like...
That's not the point, though. Kinda, he can't do anything about
it
now.
Right. But can you just imagine how much he's sweating, figuring that eventually they are going to figure out it was him?
Please don't figure out it's me. Please don't figure out it's me.
And it's not like, I mean, it was just a mistake. And let's face it, all these places, all businesses are run by people. So it's, I mean, stuff like this happens all the time. But I mean, it wasn't malicious or, right. you know, or anything. It was just an error. But it got us started to think about a topic we've never talked about, which is the mistake that you made. Usually it's something that happens at work that affects the most people. I mean, look, even our little dog and pony radio show. I mean, we have literally dozens of people listening to this show right now. One of us makes a mistake, it does screw up what's on the air for everybody who happens to be listening. So we do at least have the kind of job that other people are affected by if we fail.
But they don't listen closely. So maybe they don't. Maybe they're not affected.
Yeah, maybe we get away with it a little bit more than other people who have actual important jobs. I mean, I'm sure that there are people listening right now who have had jobs that involve, you know, decisions that have to be made or equipment that it would be easy to hit the wrong switch. I mean, you know, turning off all the traffic lights in a city. I mean, those sorts of things, they do happen by accident sometimes just because people are careless or just make a mistake or don't understand what they're doing or whatever.
Maybe and it's just, like a new tech guy that comes in and doesn't understand everything and just pushes the wrong button, does the wrong thing. And yeah, everyone gets screwed. And it comes back to you and you go, yep, that was me.
Hey, there's a huge BlackBerry outage going on today through much of North America right now. Now, I don't know what the cause of that is. Who knows? Maybe there's some guy somewhere who unplugged something. Maybe
right now.
Hey, I got to plug this printer in. Where can I find the outlet? Oh, I'll unplug this. I mean, who knows how this stuff
happens? He's got that weird, like he feels like a fever coming on. Have you felt that?
That
like
gross. You're
that flush.
Oh, it's that adrenaline.
Oh, no, it's me. What did I do?
I don't even think like a big old traffic accident. You can make people hours late for work,
that's true.
You know?
That
good
true.
Point. Yeah. You always make fun of those people who are in fatal accidents on the freeway.
Well,
so you're like, hey, plan it out a little better. You're going to die.
Hey, why don't you die in the middle of the night?
Exactly. So we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Obviously, I think we're starting with the best and the biggest. I mean, the guy cut power for 5 million people, in many cases for hours. I don't think we're going to top that. I don't expect that. But I bet we do have people who have had a job where they've made a mistake and it has affected hundreds, maybe even thousands of people. You're the one that we want to talk to. We want to find out what the repercussion was of that decision, too.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls in.
Right now, we're talking about that poor sap in Arizona a couple of weeks ago who blew out power for 5 million people in the southwestern United States. It's just one guy. Made a mistake. 5 million people. We're looking for your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Things you do or did that caused the most problems for people, or as we're going to find out when we talk to Shannon here, cost your company the most money. Hi, Shannon. Thanks for calling. Thanks for hanging on. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
What kind of job did you have?
I worked in construction as a soils inspector.
Okay.
And basically I would check compaction for the foundation of a building. And one morning I was running late for work. I didn't check to make sure that my machine had been calibrated by my boss. So I took it to my job site, tested a huge area. I mean, we're talking a foundation for a huge building.
Right.
The whole day I tested with the wrong calibration.
How
so
much?
I had to go back and make them do all the work over again.
How much money did it cost?
Upwards of $50,000.
Right.
Yeah. Now, man hours, equipment rental.
Wow.
Now, did you Did you get in any trouble for that oversight?
Yes, quite a bit of trouble.
And
actually.
By trouble, did you get fired?
Again. No.
You didn't get fired. Wow.
I did not get fired.
All right.
Well, you must be hot. Okay. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. $50,000. All right. Let's try Jeff. Jeff is on line three. He's got a story I think we can all relate to. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What did you, nephew?
What did
it do? There's a flashback.
All right. We're talking about you made a mistake at work, and what happened?
Yeah. So I received an email from an unknown sender. I sent it to my ID department, and they downloaded it, ended up getting a virus. That shut down our email for about 2 days, and then
Sweet.
We had residue infections for about two more weeks. Sad part was it also affected our manufacturer plant in Pakistan as well.
So all right. Did you get fired?
No, of course not.
You didn't. All right.
Of course not.
Don't be stupid.
Hey, nobody would still be working here at this radio station if every time they downloaded a virus and screwed up the computers, they got fired.
Remember
I'll
when the King
that.
Of Mexico did that?
Yep.
He tried to download that midget porn. And
yep, I sure
we
do.
We got all kinds of viruses and trouble that we still, I don't think, have gotten rid of.
Yeah.
Way to go, King.
It's not my fault.
Let's try Philip, line five. Philip, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, dude?
Good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
I was giving values of buildings for insurance to get insurance coverage.
Okay.
And I doubled the values by accident, and our company ended up paying around $2+ million extra of insurance.
Oh,
now,
wow.
Wait
you
a
mean
minute.
It
Hold
cost
on.
Them over $2 million in extra insurance?
Yeah, it's like a $1 billion real estate portfolio. And I gave the wrong number, and my bosses came to my office, and they said, and I actually thought I was going to get like a bonus or something.
Yeah, like, you did good work. Here comes my bonus.
Crap.
And I said, I hope this is not bad news. And they're like, yeah, it is. And they told me what I did. And
$2.5 million.
Yeah, bummer day. Really bad.
Did you? I think that's worse than bummer day.
Did you find out? I mean, did you ever retrace your steps and figure out how it happened? How did you make that mistake?
Yeah. No, I went through all my emails. I spent like hours doing it, and I was like, oh, man, it was like literally choosing the wrong column on an Excel spreadsheet. And
giving
the insurable value, I gave the building values, which is a different value.
It's oops.
See, this is why they don't give us important jobs to do and important decisions to make, because we are not capable. We would have done the same thing, Philip. Thank you very much for the call. Wow, $2.5 million you cost your company.
Sweet.
Let's try Seth. Line six.
Bean, we lowballed this. We didn't think we were going to get good calls, but we forgot that our audience is always the one that makes the mistakes.
Yeah, we have a sea of screw-ups listening
That's
to this program.
Listen.
That's for damn sure.
Seth, hi. Hello, Seth.
Hello. Sometimes they can't even use
Seth.
The phone.
Hi, Seth.
Yes,
Hello.
Seth, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, so Kevin Bean, Lisa, hi.
Hi.
Okay, so I was working at a printing shop when I was 19. And I was working on a foil stamping machine, which basically stamps an image on a bookcase.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was we had an order for like 8,000 books printed in Hebrew. Now, the image is reversed in Hebrew because, I don't know if you know, Hebrew actually reads like the reverse that we read.
Okay. Right to left, right.
Yeah, right to left. So I used the English stamp.
On 8,000 books?
On 8,000 books, and it didn't get caught. That was after they used the printed case.
Oh.
They put the actual like cardboard on it. Then they bound the book
oh.
in it.
Sweet.
So it got like all the way through like five other machines before someone was looking at their proof and was like, this is supposed to be the other way.
It was
like a tree that you can't even really tell.
Was it traceable to you, Seth?
Oh, yeah.
They were able to go back and see who made the mistake? Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. They just brought about 10 pallets of books over, and they said, hey, these books are backwards.
Oh, well. Have a good day.
Fantastic. That's a great story. Why do you hate the Jews? Oh, he's gone. Sorry. All right. These are awesome calls. Wait till you hear Scott. Joe, you hang on. We're going to go to you, too. But, Scott, you're up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
Hey.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa. May I?
Hi, Scott.
Yes, you may.
And yes, you may.
And what did you do?
I probably can't. Not even the Marine didn't get any.
That's true.
I used to deliver for McDonald's, and I delivered to LAX one time, and I left a bag of Happy Meal bags on top of the carts where you put your luggage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Shut down the whole airport for 6 hours.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It was right after 9/11, like a year after.
It was a year after 9/11, and it was just Happy Meals.
Oh, it was just a Happy Meal bag? Like a package of them. There was a whole package of them.
Why did you leave them outside on top of something? Why didn't you deliver them to the person who ordered them?
I'm guessing you forgot.
I delivered the whole load, but the package of Happy Meal bags got set aside on top of the luggage rack.
Oh, I see.
So
that's fantastic. And whoever knew that McDonald's delivered, by the way?
It's LAX.
Well, actually, it's they have three or four McDonald's in there.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
And you just go terminal to terminal to terminal. Oh. The helicopters were circling around. They
Sweet.
Bag on the TV everybody was looking at after
now,
that.
Were you watching the TV? Were you watching the coverage of your little Happy Meal bag?
I had no idea till I got back to the yard. And then after that, I was known at work as the Happy Meal bag bomber.
Sweet.
That's phenomenal. Thank you very much, Scott.
It's a good nickname,
we have to close with Joe. This is our first celebrity encounter that involves a massive employee screw-up. Joe, you're the final word here on the Kevin and Bean Show today. What happened, dude?
Oh, man. Hi, boys.
Hi.
To me.
Hi.
So I'm working at an inbound center, and we're taking calls in for kids to call in basically for this promo that Disney was doing.
Okay.
And thousands of calls are expected. I'm training a staff on how to transfer calls and things like that. And he was taking calls into his line for this specific line. He transfers all the calls to Johnny Depp's home.
Wait. All the thousands of kids... Then called Johnny Depp's house?
Yeah.
Was this some sort of like a Pirates of the Caribbean promotion where you had to call a phone number or something?
No, it wasn't even that. It was like Disney was doing a cell phone promotion for kids to have like little cell phone. This is many moons ago.
Sweet.
Little cell phone, kids' cell phones that they were launching.
And then Johnny Depp's phone starts ringing off the hook.
At home, that was
nice. How on earth was Johnny Depp's phone even available to you guys in the inbound call center?
Oh, well, we inbounded his calls.
You inbounded,
his calls as well. His home phone, like he was transferring his calls to an inbound center. We would take his home calls.
Wow, that is crazy.
Awesome. So he picked up the phone as a little kid wanting a cell phone, and then another one, another one, another one, another one?
Yeah, he just let it all go.
Sweet. All right, good times.
A lot of ticked off kids.
Sure.
Oh, I can imagine.
And it ticked off Johnny Depp. You don't want that either.
There's that.
Thank you for the call. Good work, people. Nice work.
Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
At least Josh, in all honesty, does say it's destination truth.
Right.
Doesn't say location truth. Doesn't say he actually ever gets there, but that's where he's headed. And where he goes along the way, that's the adventure, you know?
Does he ever get there?
Well, that's for you to find out you watch the show. But I'm just saying, you know, it's not a promise.
It's
not like promise truth or whatever.
What you're saying is no.
I'm saying it's a destination I think that we all should share, destination truth. I think it's an important lesson for us all to learn. It's not only entertaining, it's also inspirational.
That's real talk right there, man.
That's what I'm saying. Let's talk about entertainment news, shall we? Rihanna has been named Esquire magazine's sexiest woman alive. She's on the cover of the November issue wearing nothing but seaweed.
Love it.
Nothing is hotter than a woman dressed in seaweed.
I sort of have a
love it.
That's what makes her sexy.
Seaweed?
Yep. For all you mermaid fetishists out there, you will enjoy the cover of that magazine. Rihanna as the sexiest woman alive?
I think she's... I think I'm with you on this. She's very attractive, but there's something a little too icy for her. I don't feel the sexy connection with Rihanna that you get off the screen or off photographs from other women.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I do. I feel that way as well. Even odder is the interview, I think, where she talks about how she is still a fan of her ex, Chris Brown.
What?
This is the guy, in case you don't remember, who split her lip open and punched her in the face while they were dating. She says she's always admired the way Chris held up against the public backlash that followed the brutal beating he gave her. It's incredible to see how he pulled it out the way he did, even when the world seemed like it was against him, you know?
Well, there was a reason the world was against him, because he beat his girlfriend in the face.
Yeah, she may have missed the point of the whole thing, which is hard to believe, considering she was the point of the whole thing.
That's right. Bizarre.
I would never wish anything horrible for him. Never. I never have, she says.
Well, either she is remarkably forgiving, or she's in a world of denial.
You call, yeah, brother.
She just doesn't understand what happened to her.
While we're talking about lists, this is a pretty cool one. 10 child actors who became awesome adults. We always hear about the child actors who become losers, who fall off the wagon, go off the rails.
Sure.
Any other euphemism you want to put in there? But there are some success stories. For example, Mayim Bialik. Remember Blossom?
Mm-hmm.
She's got a PhD in neurophysics.
What?
How do you like that? How do you like Dr. Blossom?
That's crazy.
Pretty impressive. Danica McKellar, who was Winnie Cooper on The Wonder Years. She is a math whiz. She's got a book
about math. Even.
Several doctorates in math. Alyssa Milano, of course, success story. Joseph Gordon-Levitt has done well for himself. Jason Bateman was a child star who's done well for himself. Seth Green.
Sure.
Elizabeth Taylor, they mentioned. She was a child star, went on to great things. Neil Patrick Harris, Macaulay Culkin. Ryder Strong, there's a bunch of them that went on.
Why Macaulay Culkin? Why is he on that list? What did he do after he wasn't five?
He wrote a physics book, Bean.
That's right. He's a neurophysicist.
Don't you know?
No, he does independent film, works on his own terms, has a lot of money, hasn't wasted it by any account.
Hasn't killed himself.
He's not in drugs or in jail, I guess.
No, he lives life on his own terms, pretty much. Took his success and parlayed it into a life where he can pretty much do what he wants and take the acting roles he chooses to.
And by all accounts,
lives a very comfortable, happy life out of the limelight. So,
I think my number one, when you talk about child stars who made it, I mean, the model, the ideal, is Ron Howard.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, talk about a guy who just is one of the biggest players in Hollywood, and by all accounts, just couldn't be more grounded or nice, and started out at, you know, at a very young age as a child star.
Big problems on the set of the latest Resident Evil movie in Toronto, Canada, where they're filming. Yesterday, a bunch of actors who were all dressed as zombies fell off a four-foot-high stage, causing multiple injuries. Problems even got more confusing when the EMTs arrived and had a hard time sorting out the real injuries from the bloody decomposing flesh and other Hollywood makeup that was on the actors at the time. So you're looking for...
Oh, yeah!
Looking for some sort of injury on a person, and you find blood everywhere and decomposing flesh and bones sticking out, and it turns out that's all Hollywood makeup. How do you find out whether they're really hurt or not?
I just showed up and just been horrified. Oh, my God, look at the scene!
If I was an EMT, I would have shown up and just like, good luck, everybody. I just would have done one of those Vegas blackjack dealer hand slaps and just walked away and said, this is made for better stuff.
That isn't good for you.
This is more than I signed up for.
16 of the actors were actually injured, and 11 had to be hospitalized, so it was a serious accident, and it took perhaps even longer than they would have liked to sort things out.
You think they kept rolling?
We can use it.
Rolling around on the ground.
We can use it. And Jack Osborne's going to be a dad. Oh, he seems infinitely equipped for this job. I think it's good. I think it's a good thing.
He seems more equipped than Ozzy did.
That's true.
Actually.
He and his fiance Lisa have announced they're going to have a baby just a couple weeks after they confirmed that they're engaged. So congratulations to the Osborne family. I guess.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jordan Pundick of Newfound Glory is 32 years old today. Actor Kirk Cameron celebrates his 41st birthday. Hugh Jackman, his Real Steel movie.
Yes.
What? What's up?
Well, Bean made such a fuss the first time.
Oh.
Then nothing the second time. Nothing the third time. What the hell happened?
Because he likes to disappoint. That's how it is.
He knows we're expecting it.
I'm
the puppy who got hit in the nose with a newspaper after peeing on the carpet, so I've learned my lesson. I was surprised.
That puppy always pees on the carpet.
That's the thing.
Again.
We've been beating that puppy practically to death for a decade. The puppy won't stop doing anything.
Puppy won't stop.
Suddenly, puppy stops. We think the puppy's dead now. We think the puppy's dead. That's the problem.
I just thought that I wasn't alone in my admiration for Hugh Jackman.
You're not.
Just an all-around awesome dude. So
right.
All it was is you said Hugh Jackman. I said, yeah, because I thought, we love Hugh Jackman. Because you guys are hypercritical of every syllable out of my mouth. The point is, I was just excited about Hugh Jackman. That's all.
Oh, I love...
That was the noise that he made this morning.
Nothing better than the noise is when Bean goes into poor me mode. Nothing more entertaining.
Let's just do that for the rest of the morning.
And that wasn't the noise at all.
It was pretty close.
I was like, yeah.
You're like,
that's all.
Yeah!
I like Hugh Jackman. He seems like a gooder. That's all.
Take it easy.
LA Kings announcer Bob Miller, 73 years old today. Kings are unbeaten, if I'm not mistaken, at this stage in the series. Stage in the season, rather.
Sure. They practically won the Stanley
Kings guy. You're the one screaming the time is now, running up and down the hallways.
I'm not positive they're unbeaten.
I think they are. I think they got two wins so far. Two games, two wins. I'm pretty sure.
Good enough with me.
You are really the diehard Kings fan. I'm glad I looked to you for this information. But do a little quick.
We didn't win.
There's nothing quick going on.
We didn't win one of them. That's the point.
Oh, so it's what you're 1-1?
Yes, we're not unbeaten.
All right, I was just looking for some. Just looking for some information.
All right.
Oh, you know, I had you confused with the Flyers. So that's the unbeaten team. That's the team that's 2-0 in their first two games.
I wasn't going to correct you because I wanted you to go ahead and say that they're unbeaten.
Oh, my bad. I was curious to know the outcome.
No, they are not.
All right. LA Kings announcer Bob Miller is 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
The ladies are turning on their radio all over the world right now because Josh Gates, ladies and gentlemen, in studio from Destination True.
Oh, hello.
Very successful TV show on the Sci-Fi Channel. Now Josh is an author of a book called Memoirs of a Monster Hunter. How are you, Josh? Welcome, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
And I'm not lying when I say the ladies love him because I see Josh's Twitter questions that he gets, and it's mostly, hey, if I mail you my panties, will you sign them and send them back? I mean, mostly that's what's going on your Twitter page, it seems like.
It's just a mail-in panties situation. That's all that I do, really. That's 90% of my work is just signing and returning panties in the mail.
It's difficult. Now,
yeah, it's different. Somebody has to do it.
There's that, and then there's how do you stay so hot? There's that as well.
Those are the two, right. Now, Ghost Hunters and Destination Truth, for the kinds of shows that they are, it seems like have been on for decades. It seems like there's an inexhaustible supply of mysteries for you to solve.
Well, ghosts especially. I mean, that's like, if there was ever a blue chip idea, everyone you've ever met either says, oh, I've had an experience, or I know someone who's had an experience. So they can make Ghost Hunters until we're all dead and buried. Yeah. And I mean, it just will go on forever because everyone thinks they have a haunted house.
Let's talk about Ghost Hunters. How many years have you been doing? 4 years? 5 years?
So I've been doing Destination Truth. We just shot the beginning of our fifth season.
Fifth season. Okay.
Yeah.
Ghosts.
Ghosts.
Ever. Once. One time.
So I...
One ghost.
No. I am like an entrenched paranormal on the fence guy.
Okay.
I'm certainly open to the idea. I mean, look, everybody would love it if that were true, right? I mean, if you could substantiate proof of the afterlife, we'd all be pretty excited. So I'm into it. I would love to have it be true, but I have never had an experience where at the end that's definitely a ghost. I've never had that.
Have you had experiences where you said that confounds me?
Yes.
I don't have an answer for that
for sure,
because most people, that's when they just go, oh well, ghost.
Right. Well, that's exactly.
However big that leap is, they just go, that's a ghost.
Right. No, I've had plenty of those on the show. I mean, look, if ghosts are real, then I've certainly been in a position to find them. We go to all sorts of places that, you know, there have been great tragedies there. People claim these places are famously haunted. And I have had plenty of experiences I can't explain. But there's a big, I think, gulf between that and, oh, that's definitely a ghost.
That's a ghost, yeah.
Right.
You went to Chernobyl. Is that true?
Yes, it's beautiful this time of year. I recommend it. It's the next great honeymoon spot.
It's funny. It doesn't seem hot when you're there, but then later on, your skin starts to get red.
A nice tan sets in after you leave.
Chernobyl, for folks who don't even recognize the name, because we do have a lot of young people listening to the show, this was the world's worst nuclear disaster, and it has got to be 30 years ago now, Josh?
That's about right. I think it was 86.
Yeah, and I mean, aren't they still finding new species that are growing like crazy, extra limbs and stuff as a result, they think, of the radiation?
It is one of the weirdest, scariest places I've ever been. It's in the middle of Ukraine, and this nuclear reactor melted down in 86, and there was a whole city there, which was primarily built just for the workers of this plant. And they had to abandon the city, and they had to abandon basically like a 25-mile in every direction circle around this plant. So for 50 miles across,
that's a big area.
Yeah, you've got a hole in the middle of Europe that's 50 miles across in every direction, and nobody goes in there, and nobody's living there. And
it's literally abandoned. I mean, there's not a single service in there. There's nobody.
There's a skeleton crew of people in there who maintain. There's this thing over the reactor now called the sarcophagus, which is just a huge cement shield.
Okay.
And there's like 10 of the unluckiest people in the world whose job is to maintain that.
You can keep that job for about 18 months until they have to replace you, right?
Right. I met the guy with the worst job in the world. I met a lot of people with bad gigs. I met a guy who is the official Chernobyl videographer. And once a month, they put him in this crazy, like, spacesuit, but, yeah, like, old Russian spacesuit, right? So it's all, like, duct tape on the arms and stuff, right? And he goes into, underneath the sarcophagus, he goes and walks around, like, right at, you know, with, like, Simpsons green, you know, stuff dripping in there. He goes in there and he films the sort of state of affairs and how
to
the building
see if
looks.
Anything changed?
Just to see how the superstructure's doing. And then it's so radioactive that he leaves, every time he goes in, they leave the camera. They pop the tape, and there's a table inside there with, like,
with a bunch
50
cameras
on it.
Oh,
and
God.
They burn his clothes, and they take the tape. And I met him, and he is, like, twitchy.
I imagine.
He's like, weird and twitchy.
He's lucky
and,
that he came out of there once.
Yeah, no, it's
what
not
What did you go to look for? It said ghosts.
Ghosts, because a lot of folks died there.
Did
a
you
lot
go
of,
under the
No, we
dome?
But we went to the city.
Okay.
So there is, I mean, it's like I Am Legend. There's this whole city, and there's apartment buildings and stores and a hotel.
It's
just,
oh my
and
God.
It's empty.
That's so creepy.
And the only thing
that's
things,
so
like,
creepy.
It's,
that's awesome.
It's terrifying. And, you know, we were in the suits. We were in, like, the Andromeda strain suits, and you walk around. We spent the night there, and
did you have a radioactive counter that you were watching like a hawk?
Yeah. We had one.
It went up! One tick! Let's get
right.
out!
We had one handheld one that's like the classic, you know, the sort of sweeping one. And then they have these little ones called dosimeters that you wear. And they kind of measure and count your radiation exposure. And when you've had too much, it goes off. And one of my camera guys took his and just duct taped it to his crotch.
Nice.
He was like, "This is the area." He's like, "This is the area that we're going to be looking out for." And when this thing goes off, I'm done.
Now, when nuclear power plants work, they're the best thing in the world. I mean, they're so awesome in terms of how much power they generate and how clean they are and how efficient they are and how effective they are. But the downside is every once in a while, look at Japan after the tsunami. Every once in a while, you go, "Ooh, dangerous. Ooh, maybe something we'll never recover from for thousands of years."
That's the thing. And they say at Chernobyl, it is going to be. I mean, no one's moving into that neighborhood for thousands of years. And there's really famously, there's a statue at Chernobyl, which is, you know, amidst all this abandoned stuff, there's a statue of, which this is like the most ironic thing on Earth, there's a statue of Prometheus stealing fire from the gods. And that's what nuclear power is. It's like you are messing with something that is hard to control. And if you can harness it, it's the best.
Yeah.
And you know, when you can't, it's you give up some real estate.
It's not the best.
Yeah.
You are you enjoy this job, obviously, but I would imagine even aside from the work you do on Destination Truth, and this is the voice of Josh Gates here on the Kevin DeBean Show today, the fact that you've been able to travel to nearly 100 countries on somebody else's dime has got to make you feel like the luckiest little boy in the world.
It really does. I mean, I am a travel nut, and I have been able to over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, travel to a bunch of places I know I would never have made it to at this point. And, you know, now that we're, like, in the fifth season of the show...
You're tired?
No, but I'm like, why don't we go to Fiji? It's very, very haunted, you know? Everyone knows how
scary.
It's terrifying there.
What's the worst place you've been to? And then we need to take a break. The very worst place that you've seen.
Chernobyl's
that's
up there.
Okay.
I mean, that's you can't get much worse than that.
Yeah,
that makes sense. By the way, Josh has written a book that we'll talk about when we come back. It is called Memoirs of a Monster Hunter. Man, I haven't seen this yet, but it sounds like it's so right up my alley. I can't wait to look at it. And you can buy your copy anywhere. It's available in stores and online now. You can meet Josh in person, ladies, and get an autograph. Josh is going to be signing at the Huntington Beach Barnes & Noble store. That's going to be Sunday, November 6th, which I think is a couple of weeks from this Sunday, at 2 o'clock, Sunday, November 6th. Josh, you probably have a website where all this information is up anyway, right?
I sure do. You can go to joshgates.tv, or you can go to sci-fi.com and link over to the Destination Truth page over there.
Or you can send in your panties on
or just
Twitter.
Direct mail your panties from Twitter.
All right. Fantastic.
More with Josh when we return on the Kevin DeBean.
Son, never kick a cow turd on a hot day.
That's great advice, Hank Williams Jr. Thank you so much. You're listening to the Kevin DeBean Show. Our guest in studio today is Josh Gates. He, of course, is the host of Destination Truth on the Sci-Fi Channel. The book is out now called Destination Truth, Memoirs of a Monster Hunter, and it's available everywhere. The Mongolian death worm, Josh, that's a thing?
That's a thing. There's a lot of things that are things.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's surprising. That's one of them.
Did you know that's a thing before you went down and saw it's a thing?
No. They've talked about it for a long time. It's like Dune. It's like this thing that comes out of the sand and kills people.
How
okay.
big is it?
Is it real? You went down and found it.
5 or 6 people. I did not find it. This close. I came this close.
Yeah, that's what everyone says. And you have a blurry picture.
Yes. It's a
but
thing.
People have seen the monkey. I mean, someone somewhere has caught one or seen one or photographed or dissected one.
Yeah, they say that it's like bright red in color, that it spits acid, that it electrifies people. But you know, it's God. Like you go and you
it
we
spits
went and,
acid. That's awesome,
right? It's like we went and interviewed a bunch of people about it. We went looking for it. But the more people you talk to, the more that you're like, this is from a movie. This is like an insane thing that could not exist.
Does everybody have different ideas, or do they all have? It's kind of uniform because it's a movie thing.
Yeah. Well, no, it is kind of uniform, and in some cases that's a good thing, and you know that lends credibility to it. In some cases it doesn't, because sometimes it's like they've just got a pat story down that's like a generational myth that's been it's a piece of folklore that's been passed down.
Know someone who knows someone who knows someone.
Everyone, right? It's right. Like I heard about a guy who got attacked, and it's like, no, I want to meet the guy who lost an arm from this thing. And it's hard to find those people.
I am I'm fascinated by the animals on your show, the animals that you search for, and some of them are, you know, legendary like Bigfoot, and then there are others you find out that are real, like the little fish that will, you know, they'll swim up your urine stream go vampire fish and go inside your junk while you're taking a leak in the stream. You've seen a lot of crazy things in the course of doing the show. Which animals have nightmares about?
The one you just mentioned.
Anything, any animal that tries to swim into my penis that's definitely up there. No, look, I don't like, you know, everybody's got a thing they don't like. I don't like scorpions. So I have a real problem with scorpions, and we run into them a lot on the show. They're just, to me, it's just an animal that is just designed to be horrible. It's got horrible claws. It's got a tail that swings over. Like, you couldn't make up an animal like
but
that.
But it's tiny, and you can get away from it.
It's tiny.
Like,
but
I grew up in Arizona. There were a lot of them everywhere. And
I know, but they're still... But when you're out being an idiot, running around in, you know, deserts and stuff at night, you run into them a lot. And snakes I'm okay with, but... You know, in some of the places we go, like you're in the Amazon, you get bit by a snake, it's over. It's over. I mean, you're dead. So things like that, hyper venomous things are scare the hell out of me.
Things that can kill you in an instant are things you'd prefer not to have in your day.
That's, yes.
That's fair to say.
I tend to not go to places where things like that are.
Right.
That's my goal.
Right. Yeah. That's a good way of being.
All right.
By the way, I was watching Man, Woman, Wild the other day. I don't know if you've seen that show or not, Josh.
But
we had that wacky couple in a couple of weeks ago. And they caught scorpions and were cooking them over a fire and were eating them like they were they were a lobster dinner. And you would have enjoyed that very much.
I ate them in China. When I was there, horrible. I don't like them dead.
You don't like them dead or alive?
Or yeah, all over the world you go to places where bugs are a delicacy. And here's the thing, it's like they never taste good. We have grubs and it's a delicacy, or we eat, you know, roaches and it's a delicacy. It's like none of these are great.
They all taste terrible.
Right. There's not one of them that you're like, wow, this is something maybe I should try to do. You know, eat all the time.
Right.
Yeah, you eat it because you have no other food. That's the only reason you'd ever want to eat a bug, is because you're starving and that's what's available.
And
right?
And in some places that's the deal. But then somehow these things migrate into the popular culture. And like you walk down the streets of Beijing, big, you know, metropolis, modern city, and they're selling scorpions on the side of the road. And there's no reason
for
that.
Even in America, you can order chocolate-covered grasshoppers, which are only good because of the chocolate part. Take the grasshopper out, you've got an even better treat, right?
Right, exactly. And they fry all of them. You know, it's like, and you fry anything, you can eat it.
It's
you know, you can
good.
Fry a shoe, and it'll taste okay.
Let me ask
about a shoe. Well, have you tried that?
I have. It's delicious.
Let me ask you one more question before the break. Josh is going to stick around for another one. And again, if you're just joining us, the book is called Destination Truth, The Memoirs of a Monster Hunter. Meet Josh on November 6th at the Huntington Beach Barnes & Noble. He'll be signing copies of the book, too. You've gone into some fairly remote places, I would imagine.
Yes.
Tribes of Africa, that sort of thing. Have you ever had have you ever been the scary white man who comes to the village and nobody's ever seen one before? Has that ever happened?
That's happened. I'm often the huge white man.
Sure.
Like we were just in the Philippines and everyone in the Philippines like comes up to my navel. I look like a science fiction.
You're Bigfoot.
I know. I mean, people are screaming, running. No, I'm just like this giant white dude. That's usually and usually it's people are just tickled by that. They just think it's hilarious. But like
look,
China, Philippines. Yeah, China, Philippines. Nobody there. I got 3 feet on everybody.
Yeah. How tall are you, Josh?
I'm 9 feet tall.
That's also
wow.
Part of,
no, well,
I'm
like,
I'm like, I'm like 6'3".
6'3". Yeah. That's a big
But in
a
the Philippines,
that
that's like Godzilla.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Right.
All right. The book is out. It is called Destination Truth, Memoirs of a Monster Hunter. Josh Gates is our guest. We'll return in a moment on the Kevin and B. Dreamy television host Josh Gates in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the host of Destination Truth on the Sci-Fi Channel. Hey, by the way, before we talk about the book some more, you also appear on Ghost Hunters. Don't you have another big Halloween deal coming up here in a couple weeks?
Yes, I am the annual host, or I have been for the last 4 or 5 years, of Ghost Hunters Live, and we're going to be doing that again this year. It's always a blast. It's totally unscripted, unedited.
Do you know where you're going to be yet?
Yeah, it's at the Pennhurst Penitentiary, I believe that's right, which is in Pennsylvania.
Is it an abandoned?
It is. Yeah, no, it's an active prison. They're going to be going into an active prison, and we're going to see what happens. We're just going to see how that goes.
I would call.
No, it's an abandoned prison, and I haven't seen the property. They've done an episode there, and now they're returning to it for the live show. I love it. Okay. It's one of my favorite nights of the year.
Destination Truth, Memoirs of a Monster Hunter. You were telling us, couldn't be easier to write a book. You may write five more. It was so much fun,
oh,
right?
Oh, so simple, so easy. here's what I did that was stupid. They offered me this opportunity. They said, Simon & Schuster would like to do this thing, and they'd like to publish this book. And of course, what am I going to say? I mean, I would love to do that, right? So the publisher, both the people at Simon & Schuster and my literary
both
agent.
Both
Simon and Schuster. Two old men. I don't know who's. I picture them like the guys from the Muppets. Both Simon & Schuster and my literary agent said, you should take a ghostwriter. You should take a ghostwriter. For those who don't know, a ghostwriter is someone who either writes a book for you or assists you in the writing of the book.
What's more appropriate than a ghostwriter for this book,
right,
though?
Exactly.
So you can just tell them your stories and they'll write it.
Well, that's how a lot of these people, you know, I mean, like if you like if Kim Kardashian has a book out and it's like, buy Kim Kardashian with, you know, William Johnson. It's like, right. She, you know, she
it's
talked to somebody,
William Johnson.
You know, by the edge of a pool with a martini in her hand for half an hour.
So were you smart enough to say, yes, I'd like
no,
that?
No, I tried to be all mythic and I was like, I've never written a book before. I don't need any help. And so
those two sentences back to back.
I travel 7 months a year. I'll have plenty of time to do this. And so I said no. And
you turned down the ghostwriter.
I turned down the ghostwriter. Okay. So I wrote it all myself. And look, I'm really pleased with it. I think the book is great. I'm really happy with how it came out. But you know, it's really hard. And you know, I feel like okay, I can turn a phrase. So I can probably write a book. It's just the organization of it, of how am I going to, you know, build this out and how's it going to come together. And really, someone once said to me, the difference between someone who's a writer and not a writer isn't really your ability to write. It's your ability to sit down in front of a computer.
And just do it,
right? If you can just sit there and type, that makes you a writer.
I sit down to type and end up with porn in about 20 seconds.
That's what I'm saying, right? That's the challenge.
It does seem like writing books is something when you're growing up that other smarter people do. You don't. You read books, maybe.
Right.
You don't write books. It's just not the like our friend Adam Carolla. I've never been prouder of anyone in my life. Adam, you know, has been on this show forever, and one of the funniest people I ever met. He sat down and wrote his book, and it's so good. And it's just I'm in awe of how good that book is and how well he was able to do it. And I know how much work that must have taken. I can't even imagine how much it takes to write a good book.
I would do it again. Here's what I would love to do differently. I would love to write something that's fiction next time. Because the problem with writing a book about your travels and your experiences is that you're sort of bound by fact. I had to go back, and luckily I kept journals while I was traveling, but that slows the whole train down because now you're like, okay, I got to go tell the story, but I got to remember everything about my experience. That I got to accurately portray the people
that
were there.
That's just you and me. I just write what I
right.
think.
Right. That's why
I call it accurate.
Right.
And then people.
I should have done that. I should have just been like fighting dragons
and you
know, going through time portals. I didn't do that.
With all the traveling that you've done, nearly 100 countries now, do you ever watch shows like The Survivor or Amazing Race and think, I could do that? I need to be on that show.
Survivor, I don't watch. Amazing Race, I watch. I think I could do that.
Yeah,
because a lot of Amazing Race is really about like time management. It's about like how most of the drama on Amazing Race takes place in an airport terminal.
Yeah, it is decision making and time
right,
management.
It's like they make them do these nutty things that are like, you know, like assemble this wooden cart and those things are difficult. But really, the people who do well on the show are often not the strongest, fastest people. They're the ones who make good decisions. And if you're once you travel a lot, I think I would do well at that.
I think so too. All right, let me ask you one more travel question because we didn't cover this. Mm-hmm. You've been to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro?
I have.
Have you been to a lot of the top the high mountains in the world?
So I climbed Kilimanjaro in 2006 as a sort of personal challenge. I wanted to lose weight. I wanted to get in shape, and I thought, you know,
most of us get a treadmill.
Well, but you know what? It was because I'm like a big guy. I come from big people. And so for me, it was the only thing that ever. No, I'm like from big stock.
From big people
always say that. Like, I'm from big stock. I booked this climb like a year out, and I thought, okay, either I can get up this morning and go to the gym, or I picture myself like frozen in a block of ice at the top of a mountain. So that was like the best motivator I could ever have.
So you had a year of motivation.
A year of motivation. I got in great shape, and I did it, and it was, I mean, it was incredibly rewarding. You get to the top, I burst into tears at the top. I mean, it was amazing. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to do a bunch of these now. And then there are most of the Kilimanjaro is part of the Seven Summits, which is it's the tallest mountain in Africa.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the Seven Summits are the seven tallest mountains on each continent. So I thought, I'm going to do more of these Seven Summits. And I tried the one in South America. And I got close to the top, but I kind of got my ass handed to me. I mean, they get harder.
We've had Johnny Strange on the show a bunch of times. He, I think, accomplished all seven at what, Kevin? Like age 20 or something, right?
Yeah, he's ridiculous. He goes,
he's
stop
ridiculous,
it. Stop
the stuff
it.
That he does, right?
Slow down.
He's
and there's
not
a guy
stock, though.
No,
he's
there's
not
a guy out stock. There right now, Josh, and you have to look this dude up, who's getting ready to climb Kilimanjaro, and he has no arms and no legs, and he's climbing Kilimanjaro. How
he's
do you like him now?
He's not climbing anything.
He's shuffling. He's shuffling.
Somebody's going to have him in a backpack.
Nope.
Come on.
He is climbing Kilimanjaro.
You can't
climb
with no legs.
I'll bring the story in for you tomorrow.
Not
possible. He has taken like tire tread and wrapped it around his stumps, and he is going to work his way up the mountain inch by inch.
Will
yes.
he make
a,
it? If
a guy
he does,
is doing
you're
that.
A pussy.
Yeah. I say he does it. I mean, I say he makes it.
All right. Well, we are out of time. The book looks like a fascinating read. I've not seen it. I cannot personally endorse it, but I'm looking forward to it. Destination Truth, Memoirs of a Monster Hunter. Lots of great stories, particularly if you love the TV show. And again, you can meet Josh in person at the Huntington Beach Barnes & Noble. And that's going to be on Sunday, November 6th. You'll be signing books at 2 o'clock. Josh, so awesome to have you in, man. Thank you so much for the time.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We are less than 2 weeks away from a brand new album from the band Coldplay. It is called Milo Xyloto. That's what that's called. That's the name of that album. Milo Xyloto. And we're very excited to welcome Coldplay back to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's our breakfast with. It's going to be Tuesday right here on the show. If you'd like to join us, you can right now at 1-800-520-1067. They are going to be live at the new Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. And what are we looking for? Anything in particular among Coldplay fans this time?
People who don't mind hearing Coldplay music murdered.
Deaf people.
Yes.
We're looking for deaf people.
People who won't mind their favorite band music being slaughtered 1-800- by a horrible singer.
1-800-520-1067. We are doing Omaroki.
So that's so tragic and sad.
We apologize in advance.
No one, no matter how great the prize is, no one should have to sit through that. So yeah. If you're a Coldplay fan, call us now. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on the Kevin Bean Show for a Wednesday. What's going on?
No one said it'd be easy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I just didn't think it would be this hard. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
It was fun.
What the?
You knew.
But
it.
You should.
You knew before you said it.
But you said. But but I. But it. Let's talk showbiz news. Let's talk Celebrity Apprentice, Donald Trump's series that I just love. Every year I say, oh, whatever with the Celebrity Apprentice. And then they hook me in. Mm-hmm. They pull me in with somebody. Last year was Meatloaf and Busey.
That's
couldn't
right.
resist that combo.
And it paid off.
And it paid
in
off.
In spades.
Yeah. Today, but I'm very proud of myself.
You should sure. be. Brett Michaels, the season before that, remember him? He was good.
Oh, yeah.
It's
Joan
a good
Rivers.
Show.
They always have someone entertaining on there. I'm a little concerned. The cast that is being hinted at by Entertainment Weekly so far, but I'm sure they'll find someone who will restore my support for the program.
They always have, you know, some lame celebrities, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always a Jose Canseco or somebody in there who's just a waste of space, too.
But to their credit, invariably, that person will get the boot early.
Yeah.
It seems like the duds do get booted off fairly early. This upcoming season.
Ryan Gosling.
No, not Ryan Gosling. That would be interesting if he was. Cheryl Teagues, legendary swimsuit model and supermodel. Cheryl Teagues, reportedly on the show.
Yeah.
Former Danity Kane singer Aubrey O'Day, they Ooh. Say, will be part of it.
All Good right. choice.
Formula One race car driver Marco Andretti.
All right.
Okay. Teresa Giudice?
Who is she?
Giudice,
I think.
Giudice. She is one of the real housewives of New Jersey. She okay. is the troublemaker on that. She's the one. She turns over tables and throws plates at people and starts
right.
trouble. So she may be our
good times.
Ace in the hole. But so far, those are all the ones that are currently in negotiations, apparently, to join the cast of that show. So maybe something to look forward to after all. Dancing with the Stars booted off another attractive woman last night. I don't know who's producing the show over there, but they're making a grave, grave error.
I don't watch the show, and I know you guys don't either, but I did see a clip of Chaz Bono doing a Rocky-inspired dance where he ended up running up the stairs, and he was dressed as a boxer and his hands in the air. It was amateurishly bad. It was horrible. I can't imagine somebody was worse than that as a dancer on the show than Chaz.
But, Bean, you saw that Cher was there, right. And they had a focus mm-hmm. on her more than Chaz, by the way.
Was this the episode where she showed up in the audience to support her son?
Yeah, we saw
that's
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. China Phillips got the boot last night.
Oh.
Yeah. Rob Kardashian, China, and Nancy Grace were all the lowest vote getters that week. So that's all the hotties, I think, are all gone now.
I think you're right.
Now it's just Nancy Grace and Chaz.
Did Nancy fart in the post interview this,
I do
this
not,
week?
I don't believe she did.
Think this week, no.
I heard that, by the way, she threw her partner under the bus for that fart.
What? Really? She claimed it was someone else.
Yeah.
You want to hear that?
I saw them several times during the dance, and they were smiling so big. Well, let's see if the judges can give us something.
Oh, my God, that's great.
Love it.
Claims it was her partner who actually unleashed, so...
Didn't she first deny it, say it was somebody else behind her or something? Like, she's changed her story several times.
All I heard was that she said it was her partner, apparently, who did it. So, too bad when it's there's not a CSI fart team or something. You can go in there and look at the forensic evidence.
That would be great.
Find out what's going on.
Liar!
New casting news regarding the Quentin Tarantino film Django Unchained. Don Johnson has been added to the ensemble cast of this film. This is either going to be the weirdest film ever, or it's going to be brilliant.
Or both.
Most of his are both.
Remember how strange it was when we were first getting the reports about Inglourious Basterds? When they were talking about the fact, it's going to be a Nazi action film, but it's going to change history, and Hitler's going to die in it. And
it's going to be funny.
It's going to be a funny Nazi horror film. And like, what the hell? And it turned out to be awesome. So,
and I remember the first time I saw a trailer with Brad Pitt doing that ridiculous accent, I thought, there's no way I'm going to want to sit through that for 2 hours. And he was incredible in it.
Yeah. This is about slaves in the Southern plantation era.
Oh, hilarious.
Jamie Foxx plays Django, the slave, who's on a mission to rescue his wife from his sadistic slave master, his former owner. She's currently still on the plantation. Leonardo DiCaprio plays the slave master. Christoph Waltz is in it. Kurt Russell, Gerald McRaney, and now Don Johnson added to the cast. So it's going to be interesting, if nothing else.
Leo and Quentin together, I mean, that alone is going to be worth the price of admission.
Yeah. Anybody going to hit off this... J. Edgar Hoover movie, the Clint Eastwood one?
No, I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen the commercials or the trailers for it?
No.
I don't know.
Does it look bad to you?
I can't tell. That's why I'm asking.
Clint Eastwood knows what he's doing.
Usually, yeah. But I'm getting a strange vibe. I guess maybe because for the second half film, it looks like they slather on tons of aging makeup onto Leonardo DiCaprio to make him look like the older J. Edgar Hoover. Who, for those of you who don't remember, he was the head of the FBI, I think, for 87 years.
FBI!
I think was there at the outset when they put it together and became the head of it, and I think something like through 4 or 5 administrations.
Wasn't he fat?
He was in his later years, but early on.
He was also unbelievably powerful, the most powerful FBI director. I mean, he pretty much did whatever he wanted, the laws be damned.
Because he had S on everybody. He had files on every politician, every entertainer, every powerful person in America. He had all their deep, dark secrets locked up in a filing cabinet, and if you screwed with him, he would bury you.
Blackface.
Could be a good movie.
So, I mean, the premise is interesting. I'm just not sure. We'll have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jordan Pundick of Newfound Glory is 32 years old today. Actor Kirk Cameron turns 41. Hugh Jackman is 43 years old today. Nothing, huh?
He's a talented actor.
Couldn't
Mr.
see that.
Jackman.
Couldn't see that coming.
No,
could we hear
Mike?
Couldn't see that segment coming. No. That's good. At least it was low and late. That's what we shoot for here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's be our new motto: low and late. The Kevin and Bean Show. And L.A. Kings announcer Bob Miller is 73. Speaking of mottos and slogans, their new one: "The time is now."
That's right.
Which I think they are the first National League hockey team to ally themselves with Al-Qaeda. So I think that's great that they're using the terrorist
I think they mean to win the cup.
Oh, is that what they mean?
Yeah.
Couldn't find another way to say that, could they? Give your friends a call over there at the organization and see what they were thinking when they put that on their billboards, would you? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I feel like all that talk we had about what it was like living near Chernobyl last hour with our guest Josh Gates, I feel like this is going to be a repeat of that, because people who are listening to the radio right now are going to have to suffer Omaroki. We're giving away tickets for the Kevin Amin Breakfast with Coldplay. It's going to be Tuesday at the new Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. If you want to be there, call now.
Turn it up.
Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
Well, you don't win the game as much as you get put in a drawing. And then, now, if you win the drawing, you win the game.
Now, I have to ask this favor, and I know we've done this feature many times in the past to Omar, but I feel like you go out of your way to not make it sound like the song, and I don't think that does the contestants any favors.
I beg to differ, my friend. I think I sound identical to the song, and I will prove you wrong today, sir.
I have come to the realization, Bean, that I believe, like the people who try out for American Idol early, I think Omar hears it right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in his head, he thinks he is Chris Martin.
I think pretty much.
I can hear you guys.
I don't think he has
what's
any
wrong
idea
with you?
How bad he is.
All right, so Omar is going to be singing lyrics from a Coldplay song. All you have to do is tell us what the name of that song is. You go into the drawing to win your way into the breakfast. And we apologize in advance for what is about to happen. We'll start with Jose. He is on line one. Jose, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. You ready to play Omaroki?
Good morning, Kevin Amin. How are you guys doing?
We are good.
Is that a yes?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good luck. Listen up. Here's Omar.
Your skin. Oh, yeah, your skin and bones. Turn into something beautiful. You know I love you so.
That's probably enough. I think that's fine.
You know I love you so.
Thank you. Jose, what song is that, please?
That would be Yellow.
It is Yellow.
That's correct. Nicely done.
Probably the easiest one Omar's going to do, and I can still barely tell what song he was singing. Let's try our man Rick. Hi, Rick. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. Ready to play?
Definitely. What's up, guys?
All right. Good luck.
Yeah, Rick.
Good luck.
Nobody said it was easy. It's such a shame for us to part. Nobody said it was easy.
Ow.
No one ever said it would be this hard.
All right.
What that's song good. Is that? Oh, take me back to the start.
We got it. We're five. Right. Rick, save us. What song is that, please?
That's The Scientist.
The Scientist is correct.
But
nicely
what?
Done.
Nobody said it was easy.
Please. Now you can sing along with it. It sounds totally different.
You.
See, the problem is, as contestants are right, Omar believes that validates his performance. In fact, they're just exceptionally talented
Omar
Coldplay
pictures
fans.
Tuesday, when we do our breakfast with Coldplay, that Chris is going to go, Omar, come up here and sing this
Absolutely.
Song.
That's going to happen.
I'm a
Show
tired.
Me how it's done.
And
right?
I'll be here in the studio.
Yep. Nope.
Let's try. Carla is on line three. Hi, Carla. I apologize in advance for what you're about to hear. You ready to play some Omaroki?
Hell yeah.
All right. Good luck.
Okay.
Lights go out and I can't be saved. Tides I try to swim against. You put me down upon my knees. Oh, I beg and plead, singing.
That's
out of
that's,
things I've said.
Let's
shoot
end it there. Let's
an apple okay. I mean, off
thank,
my
thank
head.
Thank you. Oh, all right, Omar. Thank you, Carla. What song is that, please?
Trouble can't be named. Tigers waving to be tamed.
What song, Carla?
Singing.
Come on, let her answer.
Is that Speed of Sound?
No, it's not.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's
Clocks.
It was Clocks. Oh. In your defense, it didn't sound anything like that. Thank you for the call.
Didn't. Nice try, though. Caesar, back on the... Caesar, did we talk to you earlier? Is this your second attempt to win Coldplay tickets?
You know, and I was an idiot and didn't even think he said Shiver twice at the beginning.
Wow, I can't believe you got through and are on the air and are ready to compete again. All right, good luck. It's Omaroki. Here we go.
Look up, I look up at night. Planets are moving at the speed of light. Climb up, up in the trees. Every chance that you get is a chance you seize.
Okay, that's fine, that's enough.
Caesar,
don't blow it this time.
Speed of Sound.
Yes!
Booyah!
All right, who is with me that we take maybe one more and that's it, and then we call it a day?
I have three more songs. Come on.
Too bad.
I do.
Too bad. Carlos, I think, will be our final contestant here on the Kevin Amin Show. Carlos, thank you for calling. You ready?
Hey, how's it going, Kevin Amin and Lisa May?
Hi.
It was going well before this. Good luck.
I hear Jerusalem bells a ringing, Roman cavalry choir singing. Be my mirror, my sword, my shield. My missionary's a foreign field.
Right, let me just butt in and say, did that sound good to you?
It sounded just like Chris Martin sings it.
All right, Carlos, do you recognize the song?
Yeah, Viva La Vida.
That's correct. Oh,
thank God. All right, so we got Jose, we got Rick, we got Caesar, we got Carlos. Only one and a guest can be there for Breakfast with Coldplay on Tuesday. Lisa, who's the lucky winner?
Our winner is Carlos.
Carlos, the last person we talked to. Carlos, congratulations.
No way. That's awesome.
We will see you at the Breakfast with Coldplay. Thank you for putting it. I don't know
cool
what that
is. It is cool.
Maroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You've seen a lot of crazy things in the course of doing the show. Which animals strike nightmares about?
That was a moment with Bean.
Okay, now that did sound edited.
It did. That was a weird glitch.
All right, Kevin. Okay, yeah, we edited your little speech.
Right, but Kevin knows when he says it that they're not
you
really
guys
edited. But
edited
that
a
one
lot.
Actually
that
did.
That one was
though.
Not edited. Let's hear it again. Look, you want to?
Yes, absolutely. I don't think that's necessary.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You've seen a lot of crazy things in the course of doing the show. Which animals strike nightmares about?
That was a moment with Bean.
He actually speaks well English.
He does.
It's a miracle that any of us are allowed behind a public microphone.
That's low and late. Sure. Low and late. That's our motto.
That's our motto, exactly. All right, time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What the hell's going on?
Stuff. You know.
Anything in particular?
Just stuff.
Things. Right.
Brianna got named the sexiest woman alive by Esquire magazine.
She's attractive.
Getting a lot of emails from people who do not agree.
One listener says she reminds him of the Crypt Keeper.
Oh, come on.
She does have sort of a bony face. Her face is a little skeletal.
But I think she's hot. It's just when you say the sexiest ever, then you go, whoa, 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 slow down. I'm not sure she's in that category.
Hey, Muggs, will you read the screen real quick while Ralph continues to work, please?
So anyway, they said she's the number one sexiest woman in the world. Sexiest woman alive. Want to hear who else made the list?
Sure. Oh. Sure.
Rosie Huntington-Whiteley. See, already there, I think they made a poor choice. Out of those two, I say you opted for the wrong one.
Yeah.
Esquire magazine. Emma Stone. Beyond choice. Esperanza Spalding.
Can we just have a standing bell for... Because this is the sexiest woman
list. Please hold your bell to the end.
Okay, all right, I'll do
They're all going to get a bell.
Maria Bello. Oddly enough, probably the one that wouldn't get a bell is Maria Bello.
That's true.
Ironic.
And I like that show she's in.
Look, I think she's a super talented actress, and I think she is an attractive lady. But when you start putting her in the company of supermodels and other personalities, I think she may pale by comparison. But I think she's very attractive.
Sure.
Remember that History of Violence with Viggo Mortensen?
Yeah.
Knocking it out and her in that cheerleader costume? Come on now.
Do they consciously stay away, Ralph, from people who are obviously the hottest women in the world that they just are over? Like, they're not even going to put a Megan Fox on this list because it's assumed?
Who knows with these magazines? I really believe it's whoever they've got in the hopper in terms of publicity, and they're getting photographs prepped. And
who's got a show.
Right, who's got a hot project going on, and, you know, what the deal is with the studios and stuff. There's a lot of backroom dealing that goes on with these lists. Because if you look at it, like Lisa mentioned, Maria Bello's got that new Prime Suspect show on NBC, so I'm sure there's some promotion going on there. Hope Solo.
Sure.
She's on Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
She's got something to promote. Gina Carano is also on the list, MMA fighter, female MMA fighter. She's got a new movie with Steven Soderbergh that's right around the corner that's coming out.
Yeah.
New action film that she did with him. Vera Farmiga, Olga Fonda, Victoria Azarenka. This sounds like the obit list from Chernobyl.
It does. So it doesn't sound good.
Victoria Azarenka, Carmen Pedaru, Fiona Gubelman. Fiona Gubelman.
That's not anything. That's not right.
Sounds like the old lady does owns the cleaners down the street from me. Mrs. Gubelman, is my shirt ready yet or what?
Is that you?
That's me, yes. Okay. Jennifer Morrison from House. also on the list. Who's no longer in the house, by the way.
Mm-mm. That's true. They pretty much lost.
Well, she'll be on the It's Bobby spinoff, though, right? I mean, you're going to move her over to that show, I hope.
Don't mouth at me. I have no idea what you're saying, Beer Mug.
That's fine. Just keep
just talking to a different microphone.
Talking to all these at the same time? Does it matter?
No, this one? Get rid of the yellow. This one goes? No problem.
Okay. There this one here now?
Yep.
This good?
Yep.
Okay. I don't know what I was saying. Doesn't really matter. Oh, we're talking about a house.
Yes.
They're losing. But Jennifer Morrison is gone, but Odette
and Abel.
And Abel.
Annabelle. Justman.
She's coming back next Monday. She returns. She was the beautiful doctor that House met in prison, and now she's going to join the team.
Well, it is sort
and
of
Olivia Wilde returns next month.
Yes.
Oh, sweet.
As the House says, it's kind of like his Charlie's Angels fantasy with those three doctors working for him, except for Charlene Yee's haircut. That kind of ruins
Yeah, it's a terrible
haircut.
I mean, she was funny, though.
She's adorable.
I can't take that much of her little sing-songy mousy voice
like
for a whole episode.
Wow.
That
like
killed me.
I thought she was
it
great.
Killed
what are you
me.
Talking about? She was great.
It was difficult for me to listen to that.
What? She's
it
awesome.
Really was. And they will give her a new haircut, right? Because she does look like the No Country for Old Men guy.
She's supposed to look bad, Bean. I don't think they're trying to make her look hot.
Okay.
She's not sexy. She'll
no, but her character
sexy,
was awesome, I thought, in that
her character
show.
Was awesome.
That sort of deadpan delivery. Yeah, it's fascinating. Yeah. So unlike anything you see on television.
Yet super annoying
not
and hard
all.
To listen
nope.
to.
Not
wow.
a bit.
That must be the Asperger's
well,
speaking.
It is only opinion, bit. But yeah.
Opinions can be wrong.
That's
we've,
true.
We've learned.
That's right. There's right and wrong in this world. That's all we know. Kardashian Wedding did very well for itself over there on E.
And that's wrong.
That is wrong. That's not an opinion. That's just wrong.
Right.
4.4 million viewers on Sunday for the first half. The second part on Monday earned another 4 million viewers for E.
I'm telling you guys, it's wrong. It's wrong!
Why?
Wrong.
Why do people want to see that wedding so much? Why did they want to tune in?
Don't know.
Hate it.
You get a fairly common event, which is a wedding. A lot of people do it.
Yes.
A lot of people get married.
And you've been to weddings.
Right.
So you know what they
Maybe you've been married yourself.
I don't know.
And then you combine it with the lackluster, no-talent Kardashian family. They really offer nothing other than their celebrity. What do they contribute to the world?
Well, she's
not
hot.
Interested.
She is hot, but there's a lot of hot people.
Yes.
I'm eternally flummoxed by the endless popularity of this family.
Without Kim's hotness and sex tape, this family would not be anything, right?
But how much does that buy you? How much does hot and sex
lot,
tape
apparently.
Buy you?
I don't know. And even if you think Kim Kardashian's hot, this is not the best way to see her is in a wedding dress.
I agree.
Yeah, it's not...
It's not the Kim Kardashian swimsuit special.
Where's that video she
it's
promised
not Kim's
us? Kim's
beach
clip?
Adventure.
Right. The only thing I can think, Ralph, is a certain amount of it is people have been watching their reality show and feel like they know them and care what happens to these characters. But the other thing is that maybe people have heard how much this wedding costs and they wanted to see what could have possibly, where could all that money have gone? Like, what am I going to see if this wedding costs $10 million?
Could be. I guess. In all fairness, though, I would tune in for the Kardashian murder-suicide special. Mm-hmm. I would tune in for
well,
that. So.
I might get higher ratings even still.
They got me tapped in.
Love it.
Take a look today's celebrity birthdays. Jordan Pudnick. Nope. Pundick. Although Pudnick would be a cool name.
Would be.
Yeah. Jordan Pundick of Newfound Glory is 32 years old today. Kirk Cameron turns 41 years old. Hugh Jackman's 43. Now we get the remix.
Yep.
He is 43. Pretty good 43 right there, that Hugh Jackman.
Sure.
Were we ever in that kind of shape?
No.
When we were 18,
no.
19, 20,
no.
ever?
No. There's no way we'll ever look as good or did ever look as good as he does.
Although they paid us the kind of money they pay him to get into that kind of shape.
Nope.
I bet we could do it.
No.
Oh, I bet we could.
No,
say, we're going to give you $30 million to play Wolverine or something. Here's your trainer. Here's your diet. Here's your gym. This is all you need to do for the next 8 months.
But he hit the DNA lottery as well.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
He looks good to begin with.
But he
we
had to
like
work
we
to look.
Look
like that.
Probably, yes.
Yes.
But not his face.
No,
you know?
No. But
okay.
I'm saying just
well,
the, his shape.
Faces.
His, but he's got that
look
shape.
Look at my head.
I know.
I can't play Wolverine.
Look, you could.
I could.
You could wear. You could play the entire X-Men team with that head. You could play all of them.
I'm saying he hit the DNA lottery.
And like, LA Kings announcer Bob Miller is 73 years old today. The time is now! He's 73.
Time is now, by the
time
way.
Time is now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1-1, the Kings are.
That's right.
Yeah, it's not now, I guess. They're not saying time is not in right now. It's a little bit later now. Like, not immediately now, but some
pretty
now,
soon.
Now, time is now-ish, they're saying. That's what they're saying.
How dare you? Yeah.
He's 73. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have Robert Kirkman, who's, of course...
You sure about that?
...created the Walking Dead.
Are you
Dead.
Sure about that?
Look, it was
last
Vegas.
Time, it was Robert Kingman.
It was
and
Vegas.
And he had directed a movie called The Walking Dead.
I was a little drunk
all right.
at the time. We also have Dr. Drew on the program tomorrow morning. We have comedian and MMA announcer Joe Rogan on the program tomorrow.
Wow.
We have Adewale Akinamwawe Abajabe.
Adewale Akinoye Agbaje.
I challenge you to say that name.
No, you got better than I would
have. Mr. Echo is how we know him.
Triple A. At Triple A. Let's call him Triple A.
There you go. Yeah. And, of course, he's in The Thing, so we're going to talk to him tomorrow morning as well. And we've got your tickets for breakfast with Coldplay tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.